Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
On today's Pardon My Take, Super Bowl 56. We are finally here, ready to go. Preview. We're going to do our picks. We're going to do everyone's favorite prop. We have CJ Uzomah and Evan McPherson from the Bengals in studio, in our LA studio. And then we also, because we didn't get any Rams players, we got Rams super fan and very good friend of the program.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Black Rifle Coffee. Black Rifle Coffee's taking over this episode. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/take. Use code TAKE today and get the freshest coffee in America shipped to you. Today is Friday, February 11th, and it is officially time for Super Bowl 56. We're here. Let's clap it up.
Yeah, football.
Let's clap it up. Last football Friday of the year. Of the season, Bengals Rams. How are we feeling, everyone? How are you feeling, PFT? How are we feeling about? I think we both were in the same headspace where it's like we like the Bengals. The Rams are really fucking good, but it's destiny.
The vibe check is just that now I've reached the point of the week where I'm nervous about saying what if the Bengals just win all the time?
Yeah,
I've said it too much. I think I like it when even I didn't believe that the Bengals can win. But now I do.
I still don't.
I think that's a problem. So the pendulum is swinging back and forth in my head all day, every day. I just would love to see the Bengals. That's all. That's where I'm at right now. I don't think that's going to change. I still think it's going to be like 24-20 Cincinnati. But again, then you do the guy off and the Rams win the guy off in straight sets.
And I've had a couple moments where I'm like, oh, yeah, Von Miller. Oh, yeah, Aaron Donald. I watched that Aaron Donald pumping himself up before the Super Bowl a few years ago. It's like, that's just a scary, scary man. And Aaron Donald, like, I know it's a lot about Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow. Like, Aaron Donald, if he wins a Super Bowl, if he wins a Super Bowl MVP, I mean, he's already a Hall of Famer, which is crazy to say. He's
nine seasons in.
Like, if he wins a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, he now is absolutely in the discussion for best defensive player of all time. Like, I think I saw a stat where there's...
Oh, I go by win rate, so he already is.
There's only been, like, two or three guys who've been all pro 8 out of their first 9 years. It was, like, Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor and, like, Aaron Donald. I think there's one other, but it's a crazy list that he's already on, an exclusive list. And so... Yeah, we're talking legacies here.
Yeah, it's a legacy game. And I think one thing I've been forgetting about this whole time is that, you know, we always talk about Sean McVay in that first Super Bowl. Scored 3 points on offense, not exactly what an offensive genius would do, but also Zach Taylor was very involved in scoring those 3 points on offense, right?
Well, so how do we judge this? Because I saw there was also, I've been consuming all the Super Bowl material. It's heavily influenced to a coach who's in his second Super Bowl versus a first time coach. The second time for the coach, usually they do a lot better. Do we count Zach Taylor already knowing what a Super Bowl feels like because he was there for that?
I think
you
do.
Or is it completely different because being a head coach is completely different? You have to be in charge of everything.
I think you do because he's older than McVay, right?
Is he? Yeah.
So at that Super Bowl. He was like that. He was young, but he was still older than McVay, who was at his first. Now McVay is at his second. Taylor's older, I think, by a year and a half. Yeah, so I feel like if you're going to count it for McVay, you have to count it for Taylor. He's been through it before a little bit. But again, like what he did in that Super Bowl was just trash.
Yeah.
It was just bad. Just bad job all around. So I don't know. I'm at the point in this week where I just know now at this point that I don't know anything about what's going to happen.
Yes.
I've read too many stats. I've read too many articles. I've seen too many interviews with the guys. There's too much information. And I've been confused by it. I feel like I'm dizzy with info. So I'm just going to go and revert back to what I had at the start of the week, which is the Bengals by four.
Yes, it is. There is too much information. You break it all down. There's a lot of things to look at. I think it was the last time a first time in the Super Bowl head coach won it was Mike McCarthy with the Packers.
Okay.
Was like their first time, his first time coaching a team to the Super Bowl.
I do like the fact that if Sean McVay loses this game, then he gets slapped with the can't win the big one label. That's what we're looking at here. Those are the stakes for McVay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can lose one and people can overlook it because it was against Tom Brady and that Patriots dynasty who, you know, as Hank will tell you, just like ended the Rams.
Destroyed them.
Destroyed their dreams.
So badly they're back here.
Yeah, but if McVay loses another one, then Hank can even say, like, yep, that's he really lost this game because he lost the first one.
Bingo card for PFT to work in a dig at the Patriots.
No, I love it.
Hank bingo look, card, PFT. This is what Hank thinks.
Hank,
with something
Hank
I don't
goes, think. Hank's like a dog seeing a garage door open when PFT says something about the Patriots. He's like, wait. Was that positive or negative?
No, hold but the on. Thing is, the thing is, Hank was nodding yeah. while I was saying it. He yeah. agrees. I know Hank's brain pretty well. Yeah, you were. You were like, yeah, nailed it. Patriots win. This is a Patriots Super Bowl.
It was a dynasty. That was, you know, cemented dynasty. I don't think they didn't end the Rams. They ended the Chiefs. They ended the Ravens. They ended the Texans.
But if McVay becomes a guy that can't win a Super Bowl because he's so scarred from the Patriots beating him, I feel like that counts towards
yes.
your legacy.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, so should we do...
But losing, no, that's actually disagree. Because losing to, like, losing to Bill Belichick in your first Super Bowl, like, no one expects you to win. I don't think anyone's going to hold that against you. Losing to your assistant in your second Super Bowl when it's his first Super Bowl, that is way worse, and that will be the reason why the narrative is there. It won't have anything to do with Belichick or the Patriots or Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like, that, if he loses his game and loses to his former assistant, like, that's a much, you know, harder pill to swallow and much more... storylines and narrative than, you know, losing to the greatest coach and greatest team of all time.
There it is. I want to correct myself, by the way. I was very wrong. Bruce Arians, I think that was his first Super Bowl last year.
Yeah. Cardinals. Did he go in the Cardinals?
No.
That was Wisenhunt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on that staff, right?
Arians?
Yeah.
No, Arians was on the Steelers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was very wrong. So there you go. So first time head coaches, they're on a 1-0 streak.
Be plenty of people who tweet at you saying,
oh, yeah,
wrong,
no, the pause there.
Later.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Listen,
actually, you know what?
I'm at the point now where like time zone changes, the Super Bowl week, we've been working a lot. My brain is complete mush. I've like,
you sound hoarse.
I sound hoarse. I do sound hoarse.
What?
I do.
Yeah.
I sound hoarse.
What you been smoking? What you been sucking on?
I've been smoking AB's fucking sick ass dank.
He's loud.
Yeah.
Did you ask him why he blocked me?
No, I should have. I forgot to say that. But
if I saw Kyler, I would ask Kyler why he blocked you.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot. So I did say he did say shout out Barstools though.
Barstools.
Barstools.
Did he pay his bill?
I left before him.
Okay.
I wasn't sitting with him, just for the record. I was just smoking his weed. Because he has a blunt roller who just passes out weed wherever he goes. There's just an overload of information where I've consumed all this stuff, and now it's just been blended in my brain.
Yeah.
So everything I spit back out is like half truths.
Yeah, no, that's what Super Bowl week is, because there's so many interviews. The guys have to talk to the media like every day. There are articles written by people that usually don't write about football.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just get too much shit. Half of it's not true in the first place, mushed into your brain. And then the ball that you end up puking up at the end of the week, like a hairball.
Yes.
Is just like filled with dog shit. So I think I'm reverting back fully to – I'm resetting my brain. I'm doing a hard reset to what I felt on Monday morning.
Yes.
And I'm going to stick with that, and I'm going to stick with the Bengals. But, yeah, no, it's
– Also Doug Peterson, like, 4 years ago, and Gary Kubiak in Super Bowl 50. So, like, it's literally every single time. And Pete Carroll and John Harbaugh and Mike McCarthy. So there's been 5 first-time coaches go to the Super Bowl that have won since – what I said was the last one in Mike McCarthy.
You know what?
More than it's basically Bill Belichick has won Super Bowls, and then all first time head coaches have won Super Bowls.
But that's where I'm at right now too. Is just like you could say any stat or piece of information, And I'm not going to fact check it right now. Dude, I take everything as gospel. You can tell me anything.
It sounded good coming out of my mouth. It really did.
You're like, yeah. This is the first time, actually, Big Cat, that a team has played a Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Dude, I'm looking at it right now. It literally is just the last 20 years. If a coach gets to the Super Bowl their first time, they win unless they're playing Bill Belichick. It's Bruce Arians, Doug Peterson, Gary Kubiak, Pete Carroll, John Harbaugh, Mike McCarthy, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin, Tom Coughlin, Tony Dungy, John Gruden, and then Bill Belichick the first time he won.
All of them.
All of them. Literally all of them.
Every first time head coach playing a Super Bowl wins.
God damn it. So now the Bengals, I feel even better about the Bengals.
Now the Bengals.
My Bengals pick looks great.
I also didn't know that Zach Taylor is married to Mike Sherman's daughter.
Oh.
There's nothing coaches love more than marrying another coach's daughter. Yeah, that's like their favorite thing to do.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
Also, his brother's name is Press.
Press Taylor?
Yeah, he's a coach. He was a coach on the Eagles. I don't know where he is now.
Sounds like a celebrity gossip blogger.
Press Taylor.
Press Taylor, yeah.
Yeah. Good guy. All right, so should we do our picks? Yeah, he is a good guy. Okay. I mean, we met him in Indy. You met him in Indy, too.
I forget Press. I feel like I would remember Press.
We met Press at a combine a few years ago. Very good guy. I think that's his name.
What if you just made that up?
Yes, it is. He's okay. Coach at the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's the offensive coordinator now. Because he was with Doug Peterson at Philly, so that makes sense that he would follow him to Jacksonville.
It would, yeah.
Yes, Press Taylor. Love it. What a name. okay. Do you want to do our picks?
Yeah.
Oh, should we quickly just say, do we care about home field advantage?
The Bengals are the home team, right?
Right, but there's the storyline I have consumed is, obviously, there's not going to be a home field advantage in terms of fans because the Rams, you know, even in the NFC Championship game, there's a lot of 49er fans. But in terms of they get to sleep in their own bed,
I even read
someone made the argument that the Rams, since they've played, I think, 13 games in SoFi Stadium this year, counting preseason, they are going to be well equipped with where the clocks are located.
Aren't they located in the exact same place in every stadium?
Ah, you would think that, PFT. Nuh-uh. I guess they're in a different spot at SoFi.
Okay.
So it's like, it's kind of a thing. So the but game I mean, clock.
The Rams' home stadium isn't even really their home stadium.
I know.
They basically, well, they're landlords. They have a tenant. I think it's actually good for the Bengals because they're practicing at what, UCLA?
Yep.
And so they're practicing at a college facility is a major upgrade to what they normally do during the week.
And
they probably have better equipment that they're using.
Better weather, better equipment. And their locker room is the Chargers locker room. So it's not like a downgrade whatsoever.
Right. And it's pristine. It hasn't been used in at least a month.
A long time. So. All right, so I guess we don't care about the home field advantage thing.
No.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there, just because it's going to be discussed at some point. Watch out for that clock.
Oh, also, we should talk about the guy that Billy and Jake ran into today when they were out on their little Muscle Beach excursion. What an all-time celebrity encounter in L.A.
Yeah, it was a legend. We did our little workout. Videos are on Twitter. People are Olympians on Twitter in the replies.
Well,
When
you preface it by saying we did our little workout, I think that tells you all you need to know about the quality.
As someone who's done more athletic things this week than I have done in like 4 years on camera, you quickly remember that every single person that follows you is a former Division I athlete who's in insane shape.
Well, yes. Hank and I did the treading water challenge today for 15 minutes, and then Stephen Che replied to it, and he goes, sorry, I'm not trying to be the best at exercising. I play real sports.
Yeah.
It's like, what real sport is he doesn't play?
No, he doesn't play real sports. And in fact, it's not, I would say the realest sport is basic survival.
Yes.
Which is what treading water is. It's literally like, can you survive in the water?
Absolutely.
So that's the realest sport you can get.
That's fair. So we did our workout and then we rented a scooter, went over to the Santa Monica Pier, grabbed some lunch, grabbed the picture by the water.
That's beautiful. Wait, did someone else take it of you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And then I took a picture of Jake and I having lunch, like the food and Jake across the table from me.
We went live on Instagram and Twitter. And then on our ride back, we were live on Twitter. We just see Coach O.
And did you yell at him?
Yeah, we said Coach O.
And what did he say?
He's like, hey.
Did you say, pardon my take?
Well, at that point.
You say like, hey, we know Big Cat and PFT too?
Well, he kind of started walking away.
We were live, so we didn't want to like.
That would have been awesome.
Show the camera on him.
So we're going to have to do a little lesson maybe in the off season.
We were on the news though.
Like when you
separately.
When you see Coach O walking by, that's like a more impressive public sighting than Bigfoot.
You should have gotten out and interviewed him. Well, again, we'll review the tape. I'll review the tape. We'll get into film room.
He looked like he wanted to be left alone.
Yeah, but that's, you know.
He was with his girlfriend.
But you also know if you had said, like, hey, we're on Part of My Take, he would have given you a giant hug.
And he probably was with Derek, who's our friend, who would know who you guys are right
away. He was not with Derek.
Who was he with?
A lady.
Nice, nice bonk.
Yeah, there we go, Coach O.
Hopefully she posts the picture that they were taking because we're in the background on the scooter waving. That's all they're taking the photo.
We'll see.
I'm
going
to
look it up.
I'm going to follow her Instagram page just to see that. Just for this.
Oh, also,
like a few pictures just so that she knows well, you've been around for a while.
Well, so it gets like in my algorithm.
Right, right.
By the local news. A reporter was asking us our thoughts on local crime in Los Angeles.
What'd you guys say?
I said,
Billy.
I said, subscribe to Part of My Take.
He's going
to
be like,
it actually everyone's isn't moving as to bad. Austin. It actually isn't as bad as it's been described. LA has actually been way, like, better than I was told it would
be. Yeah, LA's, listen, I love the weather in LA, but it also makes people soft out here. I think we can agree on that.
How the hell would anyone get work done?
No one's soft. I like being a little bit upset. I like good, like, cities that have a little bit of edge and anger to them. Cities like Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Philadelphia. I like the fact that everyone's a little bit pissed off all the time. Yeah. Out here, it's too easy. I'm not even saying it's a bad sports town. I'm saying I would be a bad sports town if I lived out here too. Mm-hmm. It's not your fault.
I wouldn't care.
You're just being coddled by God and handed 75 degree days every single day.
Although I would freak out. Like we're staying in West Hollywood, and these like the hills right above us with these houses. Every time it rains, I would just be like, all right, well, I'm about to slide off this hill. Like, there goes my house.
Do you know what Coach O's girlfriend's name is on Instagram?
Nope, I don't. We're not going to say it. I do.
I know her first name.
But yeah, all right, it could have been a learning lesson, but...
Yeah, no, we'll go... Give him the space. Those are content opportunities that we can maybe start to capture a little bit. It's not a win or a loss. It's more like, let's go watch the All-22.
I'm just going to follow every Brandy on Instagram. There we go. Just for research.
We were whipping, though. 10 out of 10, definitely rent one of those two-person scooters for the boardwalk.
Nice. Did you feel like it was GTA?
Yes.
Said that like 12 more times.
Of course you did. Low-key?
0.1 stars.
Low-key, kind of GTA out here. All right, let's do our picks. I asked everyone to have a prop pick as well. So give your game pick, prop pick, and then Vincent, who has been our sound guy all week, we will have him come give a pick too. If he gets hot, he's just going to have to start giving us picks for every game. That's just how it works. I'll start with you, Jake.
Just final score and a prop?
No, just or whatever. Like if you, okay. Total or like what are you betting? Just okay. So people know.
I mean, the prop is obvious. It's Scorigami on the Barstool Sportsbook at plus 1,400. So got to be aligned and take 32-26 Bengals. That would be a Scorigami.
Ooh.
So double whammy there.
And the over.
And the over.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So MVP, Sam Hubbard, game-winning strip sack, runs
love
it back.
It. Love it.
Plus 17,500 on the Barstool Sportsbook.
That exact sequence? Oh, no, him winning the MVP.
Yeah, because of a game-winning strip sack. Yeah.
Okay, Billy.
Bengals money line.
Okay. Ballsy.
Joe Burrow MVP.
Not love ballsy. It.
Just laying it out there. I want to see the Bengals win and Joe go off.
Okay.
Okay.
PFT.
I'm taking Bengals with points.
Same.
I don't think I'm going to take Bengals money line. And my prop, I'm thinking first accepted penalty type of the game. Maybe you guys can help me narrow it down because I've got it down to within two. I'm thinking either offsides.
Yep.
Or pass interference.
I think offsides.
Offsides to me because you're going to have some guys on the edge that are feeling like they got to get home. And it's a big moment.
Especially if the Bengals start with the ball and they're like, all right, we already know that like this pass rush is going to be a problem. We're trying to get a little extra jump here.
Oh, so you're saying false start.
Oh, false start. Yes. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Is false start
so
on there?
False start's a different one. I was thinking about false start too.
False start.
Because you could see like a jumpy tackle.
Right.
Scooting back up. Let's put up to a vote. What do we think? False start or offsides?
What about holding though?
No, the holding's a pussy.
No, but holding is like
it's only plus 275.
Aaron Donald, the first
couple
times.
There's no value
ties.
In holding.
Oh, tackles.
Like, false starts are more common.
What's false start at?
False starts plus 450. Offsides is plus 550.
I feel
like you get better odds with false start.
Yeah. You want to go false start?
Yeah.
What's holding?
Because both defensive lines are good.
There's way more false starts than offsides in the game. I'm not a math guy, but that's what it feels like.
Here's how it's going to happen. Because I had an apparition where I was thinking to myself about, I was trying to imagine, what does this look like? What's the first penalty going to be? And it was one of those plays where the guy comes off the edge hard and the tackle jumps before the ball is snapped. It's all going to depend on whether or not they call it.
Yeah, who points first?
Was he induced?
Who points first?
So as far as the pointing goes, I feel like, yeah, there are some savvy veterans. All defensive ends in this game are vets. They'll know to point.
Just point right at them.
So, okay.
I go false start.
False start plus 450.
I like it.
It's a lock.
I like it. All right, so my prop, I'm taking the Bengals as well. My prop is first penalty offsides. no. All right, so yeah, I'm taking the Bengals with the points. My prop is Joe Burrow over 36.5 pass attempts. So it doesn't have to be completions. I look back, 4 out of the last 5 games, he's hit over that number. I also, everyone knows, like, when it becomes, I love the Super Bowl because obviously everyone has opinion. You talk to anyone, what do you like? When just a casual conversation is, how are the Bengals going to block the Rams? Like, everyone is talking about that because it is the biggest, probably the biggest mismatch in the game in terms of the Bengals offensive line versus the I was looking it up, the Bengals offensive linemen individually each rank like very, very badly. And then as a unit, very badly. And then you have Aaron Donald and Von Miller and all these guys. I think that's actually, in a weird way, a benefit to the Bengals knowing that going in, because they got sacked 9 times against the Titans. Obviously, the Chiefs' defense isn't as good as the Titans. They got sacked once against the Chiefs. It's going to be Joe Burrow getting the ball out as fast as possible, like quick passes, making sure that, like, because that's the big thing. Like, what do we say when Tom Brady, when he knows he's going to be, you know, there's going to be pressure, he gets the ball out in like 1 second. You can't even get to him. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a lot of quick passes. A lot of Joe, like the Rams will be able to stop the run because they have stopped the run all year. So I think Joe Burrow will have, for them, the Bengals to win, Joe Burrow has to pass the ball 40 times. And then if you want to even go the reverse and say the Bengals are losing, Joe Burrow will have to pass the ball.
They'll have to pass a lot.
And, so I like it a lot.
And it could be a benefit almost. Like if your line sucks so bad that everyone is talking about how bad they are, your screen game is probably going to be pretty effective because you'll be able to let the guys pass you. And they won't do the thing where they're like, wait, this was too easy. It's a screen. And in the middle of the play, they'll be like, no, this is what we saw on tape. They literally can't block us.
And it's not even completions. It's just attempts. It's very similar. Like I was thinking about it. It's like similar to the SEC championship game when the whole conversation, I bought into that and I was an idiot. How is Bama going to block Georgia? And it's like, well, they won't. They'll just pass it so fast that they don't have to. And like move guys around and give them different looks and a lot of screens and a lot of quick shit that like that's – if you know it going in that you can't block them, you would hope that Zach Taylor, and I do hope – I think he will do this. The game plan will be let's not try to block them. Let's try to just beat them quickly.
There are two types of coaches. One that will – a smart coach who will do what you're talking about.
Right.
Adjust the game plan. And then there's the other type of coach. I would put like John Gruden into this camp, who would just show the offensive line film of them getting their ass beat over the last 3 weeks and be like, you guys got to take some pride in your blocking ability because we're going to depend on you this week, and try to use that as a motivational tactic and then have them absolutely get their asses kicked yet again.
And Joe Burrow is the type of quarterback. Like he's going to he will like stand in there, obviously, but he also will, you know, use his mind and make quick reads and all that stuff. So I like that bet a lot.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I don't think I've ever won a bet on the completion, on the over in completions. And
it's not completions.
No, attempts.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's what I meant because
that's the nice part.
Because I never bet on that.
Yeah.
Because the number's always so high.
I know.
I look at it and I'm like, 36, that's a lot of throws.
4 out of the last 5 times. The only time he hasn't done it in the last 5 games is against the Raiders, who they had a kind of a comfortable lead throughout the game. Hank.
Okay. The game I don't feel great about. I'm going to take the Bengals as well, but probably not for a nuclear missile.
Yeah, no game of the year for
Are you going plus sign hunting or are you taking Moneyline?
Moneyline. Moneyline dogs. It's the last Moneyline dog of the year. They've done me well this year, and I just, you know, out of loyalty to the dogs, I'm taking them.
We're going to Washington State tonight against Arizona.
Sure. Well, yeah. Maybe not. Probably wait till we're in Louisiana.
Yeah, true.
I like
I like to get my reps.
We have a. You know I'm I am so. Like I so my point being, the reason I said that is because I'm gonna, you know, sprinkle a little bit on the money line and then just go crazy with props. Have a crazy prop night. Just, you know, prop hunting.
Yeah.
Carrot top.
Just be careful. I want to, this is a PSA not to you, Hank, but to everyone out there. When you put in all your props, also bet early because all the gambling sites have crashed the last few Super Bowls, so make sure you get your bets in early. When you put in all your props, take one last look right before, because I've done this many Super Bowls where all my props, I have like 15 props, and they're all correlated on one game outcome. And then that game outcome doesn't happen, and I lose everything. So like if you think the Bengals are going to win and you do all your props around that, make sure you sprinkle in a couple of Rams might win props.
No, these are fun props. The Barstool Sportsbook has good ones. I'm going to rattle through all the ones I have. And then my last one is my lock prop of the year.
What?
I can't believe the odds in it. I'm probably going to put all the money I bet and then just put it all on
it right
the
now.
Prop.
Hank Prop
I'm tweeting it right now.
All right, so these are the other ones I'm betting. This is the doink prop. Any field goal or extra point attempt to hit uprights or crossbar plus 405. Give me that. Match to end with a score. Gami, obviously. Any offensive lineman to score a touchdown.
We're doing one prop.
No, but Hank's got a lot of
okay, right. The locks at the end.
He's giving out all the ones for fun that he's also going to bet on, but the one at the end is the one that's guaranteed
got it,
winner.
Got it.
All right, so those are the ones. This is the lock prop of the century. I don't know how this is mine.
Wait, century? This I'm is? Taping to year.
All right, give me a year.
No, no, he said century.
It's crazy. It's insane. The odds, like,
decade.
Literally, I can't comprehend it. You guys are probably going to tell me something that's going to maybe burst my bubble.
Okay.
But opening kickoff to result in a touchback, minus 112.
I love it.
Yeah.
The Bengals win the flip. Kick Fearson's going to kick it, like, out of the stadium.
Well, they're going to defer.
Okay, the Rams
both
are going
to. Both teams defer.
Right, you're right, you're right, you're right.
Insane amount.
You're right, that's true. But
wait,
so hopefully the Rams are
no. You want the Rams to win
the coin flip and defer.
Okay, wait. So let's back it up then.
The
because that means that the Rams are going to call the toss.
Other way, yeah.
And the Rams are going to lose the coin.
You
toss.
You want the Bengals to win the coin toss and defer, and then they have to kick to the Rams.
Yep.
Which, by the way, has anyone ever fucked that up? I think someone has.
Yeah.
I remember someone
like
fucked
Seattle.
It up in flag football in like intramurals in college where they didn't understand defer. We got the ball twice and they were so mad. It's like, learn your fucking rules, dude.
Yeah.
It was in the NFL a couple years ago.
Someone,
some team said like we want to receive.
Yeah.
And then Hasselback for some reason.
Yeah.
No, we'll take the ball and we're gonna score.
Oh.
They threw a pick six.
That was cap. That was major cap.
But yeah, lock of the century, that's gonna be a fun one. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna be an exciting way to start the Super Bowl.
I'm rooting for all the adrenaline.
It's the Super Bowl.
But it's the most electric hand signal in sports.
Yes.
One of these.
Yes.
Okay.
Look at that.
Like, I think it doesn't even matter if it's the Rams kicker. It's still going through the end zone.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to look up some stats I'm only going to tell you positive stats.
Okay.
Let's do Liam's picks, and then we'll do Vincent's picks while I look up positive stats.
What if the Bengals have to kick off and they just say, fuck it, and they do onside kick to start the game?
That would be disappointing.
Matt Gay has a touchback rate of 63.7 this season.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then the Cincinnati has 59.7.
Oh no, 60.4.
That's still good.
That's still good, but
it's better, more likely than.
And also, you have to take into account there are probably a couple times this season where they've tried intentionally to do a squib kick.
Also, you're not factoring in adrenaline.
Yeah,
adrenaline.
I might have to play devil's advocate. Yeah, Billy, you're gonna say the same thing. Adrenaline from the kick returner.
Yeah,
being like I'm a fucking hero, Devin Hester.
The guys want to bang.
Right.
They've been amped up week off.
But let's not. That was just us saying, look, there's a different world where we could, like an alternate upside down world where this prop could lose.
No.
But it's not going to. We're just telling you that we're not going to the upside down world.
My Super Bowl will be made or broken after the first kickoff.
I love it.
And that's exciting.
Oh, tails too.
Oh, yeah, that goes without saying. Yeah, tails and then the over on
that's
the national.
That's a 50-50, though. Tails. This is a 60-40.
Yeah, that's true.
I like, it's true.
Great.
It's like great
a
value.
Coin toss
also,
a better value.
One thing Billy's forgetting is that the kick returners are going to be amped up, so they'll be nervous and more likely to have it like bounce off them. They'll drop it in the end zone,
no,
and they'll just take a knee.
No, these are professional.
No, no, I'm saying then they take like a knee.
These guys are amped. These are big games. These guys like are
biting at the teeth.
Yeah, like they're not going to muff the kick.
No, but
did
they're
you know they're pros when you made that pick?
I did.
Okay.
These are professionals.
The way I have it mapped out in my head, I've done some studying and some analysis and some, you know,
the visualization.
Projections. Do you know who's receiving the kicks?
It doesn't matter. In my projections, both kicks are going through the uprights into the end zone. Well, they're not going to have a chance to kick it.
Think about it. If you're a kicker, this is your Super Bowl. You get to kick off for the Super Bowl. You've never been more excited.
No.
They're not going to touch the ball.
Exactly.
It's going to go out of the back of the end zone. I agree with Hank. This is, I would say it's more of a lock of a century, but we'll stick with decades.
What's the wind?
It's indoors.
Well, it's actually technically not. We learned that this year, remember? It's like not, it's
yeah,
like
but it
an
wind,
open air.
Wind-wise,
there
it's
might
indoors.
Be a wind
but it's open. There's like open.
That's just for lightning.
Yeah, but there's like open, whatever. Yeah. There's no wind.
Oh, no.
No, 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 what? Jake.
Yeah, no, I was thinking
Jake,
this.
No.
I want to be up front with Hank.
Okay.
Just with the stats.
Okay.
Tell me just to ignore the
Big
stats.
Big already tweeted it. It's
no,
happening.
We're betting it,
yeah,
Hank.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Right. I'm riding with you. You've ridden with
if
me.
You're, and if it's weather, we already know it doesn't fucking matter.
No, it's something else. It's
no,
return
yeah,
rate.
Yeah,
wind doesn't exist.
Rate. Okay.
I have a take on why this might be a thing.
Okay, shit.
8 of the last 10 Super Bowls have not been a touchback.
Oh, that's good.
It's due. Yeah.
That's good.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just being up front. That's history.
Haven't the rules changed since then?
Not recently. You,
I kind of like want to say that for a lot of people, this is their first football game they've watched all year. So honestly, for the NFL product, they don't want it to start in a thing that the play stops. And then you have everyone asking,
right,
why
NFL
that
rigged. Here, Billy.
NFL
Get
rigged.
Here, Billy.
NFL rigged. No
Get
touchbacks
here,
on the first play.
Get the fuck
yeah.
out of here.
They want the game to start with action.
All right. Goodell, bro. All right. He's the puppet master.
Let's do Liam, your pick, and then we'll get Vincent's and we'll do a quick NBA. Quick.
I just can't have us all take the Bengals. I'm going to go Rams.
Oh, and, I like it. Yeah. You know what? And, you need someone.
Yeah.
Because we can't all lose.
Yeah, they can't do the graphic where it has all the logos
exactly,
under our names.
Yeah. And I'll do OBJ for MVP.
Ooh, yeah. Spicy.
Baby.
Right, Vincent.
Has he had the baby yet? Let's see.
Vincent, give us your background in football knowledge. Big football fan?
No, it's. I mean, I love playing it, but as far as following it, it's pretty limited.
Okay. That's awesome. That's
I've learned
a cool thing to
that's
say.
Cool. That's as cool as it gets.
Yeah. You know, learned a lot from listening to you guys and stuff like that.
No, you didn't. No, you did not. That's so bad. Did you hear the whole part where I screwed up, like, the stat in the worst way possible with the coaches?
I did, but I guess it maybe went over my head or something.
It was not a bit. I'm an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You've been sounding good to me.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll say... for the Rams with the flip, second half lead for the Bengals.
What is this?
Is as far as like my predictions?
Okay, yeah.
The
Rams win the flip.
Rams with the flip, and then in the second half, the Bengals are still leading.
Okay.
And then I'll say like a 28-17 for the Bengals.
All right, okay. All right. So we got the Bengals money line. Vincent, who's been with us. Wait, one last thing, Vincent. How would you rank our operation in total vibe?
Oh, it's great. I would
say
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
do we have any energy vampires in the room?
Energy vampires? What's an energy vampire?
Like someone who just sucks the energy out of the room.
Oh, no, not at all.
No one?
Looking at Billy.
Not that I've seen.
Yeah.
Oh, Billy?
I'm a hype squad.
You want to tease it? What was your favorite interview that we did
this week? O'Connell. He was great.
Oh, okay. Well, everyone heard that. What about one that we haven't aired?
Oh.
We haven't aired any of them except O'Connell.
Bert was great, too.
Okay, Bert Kreischer.
Yeah,
awesome. Yep, coming up. Yeah, that's a good one.
Super funny.
All right, that's a great tease. That was actually an incredible interview. That's going to probably be in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. All right, Vincent, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Shout out to Vincent. Been
football
with us
player.
All week.
We got a real football guy.
Okay.
I'm going to start saying that. I don't watch football. I'm too busy playing
it. Yeah, I just enjoy playing it more. all right, let's do quick NBA trade. The big three in Brooklyn is no longer I saw the stat. It's very, very funny. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden end up playing 16 total games together. It was like 350 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
13-3, though.
13-3. Traded James Harden, which, shout out James Harden, because it was like maybe 10 months ago where he's like, I really regret how I handled myself at the end of the Houston days. And then he just did basically the same thing at the end of the Brooklyn days where the only thing he did different was he told Woj he didn't want to complain. So if he were to complain, he'd say he want to trade.
Well, and also he didn't get fat this time.
Yeah,
he didn't put on
he just
weight.
Got fake injured.
He should have gotten fat. That was the best part of his last trade. And you're right, he did not request a trade because I think Woj's report was James Harden would like to clarify that he's not asking for a trade because he doesn't want to be perceived poorly
right.
for requesting a trade.
It's basically when I tweeted the airlines for myself, and I'm like, I would never complain to an airline, but if I were to,
yeah, it's
this
the
is
Russell
what I
Wilson
would say.
Trade request.
Yes, yes.
But in the NBA format. And now he's going to Philadelphia. Simmons is going to Brooklyn. And this could be the rare occasion where both teams lose a trade.
Oh,
it could completely blow up. Now, I think that
I disagree.
I think the Nets got the better end of the deal.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I think both teams won in a weird way because Ben Simmons was never going to play for the Sixers.
Yep.
So they had to get something for him. They got a player in James Harden who, if he is healthy, is the perfect fit with Embiid. And now, like, we know how the NBA works. You have to have top end guys to win a title. It's not like a rocket science. You have to have anywhere between, you have to have probably a top five guy and a couple, two top 10 guys total. Embiid's a top five guy. He might even be the best player in the NBA right now. And James Harden's a top 10 guy if he's healthy. So this is now title or bust. And I could absolutely see them winning the title this year.
So I think I was telling Hank about this earlier when the trade went through, but, between Harden and Embiid, you basically get like a 3-month period with James Harden where he can truly be happy mm-hmm. in any environment before he starts to hate something about his life. And so this might be a good example of, okay, he's got like 3-4 months where he can be in Philadelphia. His game does complement Embiid's game perfectly.
Yeah.
And then like right after he would get to the finals and maybe potentially win a championship, then he requests another trade.
Well, I think he's a free agent at the end of this year, correct?
Okay. Are they going to extend him?
They'll probably give him a max, which will be hilarious because he'll be making like $65 million when he's like 37 years old.
Yeah. And then Ben Simmons, I feel like the Nets could be the right place for Ben to be because he doesn't have to shoot up
well,
there.
If you go back last year, the All-Star game, when they were picking their teams, Kevin Durant did say, I'm mad because LeBron just picked the guy I wanted, Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Little precursor. Ben Simmons was never going to play for the Sixers again. I still think he's talented. There's clearly something mentally that's like not there. Like, it doesn't all click. But, yeah, I mean, if you put Ben Simmons with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, those guys are so fucking good that they will find it. Like, and Kevin Durant's so basketball smart, I feel like they'll find a way to at least make him useful. I do think the Nets, like, it did feel, it actually all from the Kirk Goldberry interview we had last year, where the Nets had won, what, they swept? No, they won in five against the Celtics, or did they sweep the Celtics? They swept the Celtics, and then they won in five, and then we had them on after they were up 2-0 against the Bucks, and from that moment forward, essentially everything fell apart. Like, yeah. Kyrie got hurt, James Harden got hurt, Joe Harris lost all his juice. Then this season started, Kyrie didn't get vaccinated, James Harden got hurt, Kevin Durant got hurt. Like, from that point where Kirk Goldsberry, I love Kirk, but he did say they're the greatest team of all time. And from that point
literally
they have not done anything.
And actually, by winning percentage, they might have been the best team of all time when they were all playing together.
13-3.
Like, right behind that Bulls team, right?
We got to have them back on and be like, dude, we'll have them back on after
Joe Harris for us.
After football's over, we'll have them back on.
I don't think that you can find two more opposite players being traded for each other at the same time. And
yes.
It's crazy. Like, I don't know. Ben Simmons, where has he been practicing? Has he been practicing? Has he been staying away
with his phone in his pocket?
All baskets all the time? I don't know. But I feel like going to a team where you have guys that love to shoot and love to score, he's the perfect guy for the counterexample to it's just one ball.
Right.
It's just one ball. He's a guy who's like, yes, you can have the ball all you want. I will play defense. I will get the ball back for you. Then I will pass the ball to you.
Yes. So, I mean, it makes it interesting. I think I saw it and I was like, oh, that's pretty good for both teams. Like, I think the Sixers are become a real, real threat now.
I'll clarify. I don't think
and watching the watching Philly fans turn on James Harden will be funny.
Yes, no, absolutely. And also, when Ben Simmons has to go back there, I think March 10th, mark your calendar, will be great.
I don't think necessarily it's going to be bad for both teams. I think it's going to be either really good for both teams or really, really, really bad for both
but
teams.
But it's also one of those trades. It's also one of those trades that they had to do it. Ben Simmons was not going to play for the Sixers. James Harden was clearly not happy and wanted to be traded. So it's like, get what you get. And also the Nets, I think they got 2 first-round picks back, which they had to trade a bunch to the Rockets for James Harden.
And they got Seth Curry.
And they got Seth Curry. And Ben Simmons has 4 years. Like, you know, I don't know. I still believe in Ben Simmons. Ron, real quick. We're literally talking Ben Simmons. Real quick. our guy Angelo Palantonio, Roan. We literally breaking it down. Just give us the quick breakdown from a Philly perspective. How are you feeling?
We just needed to do it. Ben Simmons was not playing. We needed to do something. We weren't going to just do nothing and just sit around. It would be a waste of a year, and James Harden might not be it. We might wind up paying him $60 million when he's 38
That's
years old.
I just said.
But at the same time, if you win a championship, isn't that kind of what you're paying for?
Yes. Yeah, you know what? You're all in.
We're all in,
the 76ers
dude.
Are all in.
Forever.
Dude, we're about to
you're like the Rams.
Complete the process, oh. dude. I think we're about to complete the process. I don't know.
I think it's funny how Joel Embiid like immediately posted that. He's so good at Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got this good, but like the meme that he put up of the like, I stopped by my biggest hater's funeral to stun on him one last time right after Simmons left. He's going to be so happy. And the thing is, like, I was thinking about NBA and just the players in general today. Feels like nobody, no players are happy in the NBA. No one's happy. Like, Joel Embiid is probably the happiest he's ever been because he's no longer the most unhappy guy in the world having to play with Ben Simmons. But
Pat
like,
Beverly's happy.
He might not. Is he?
Yeah, because he got that fucking dig on Russell Westbrook.
I think Pat Beverly's happy when he's the most pissed off.
But
that
he was,
makes him
that
happy.
Dig was a piss off. He basically reused Russell Westbrook's quote against him. It was like, he's just a magician. He's doing nothing. He's just running around.
But everybody gets what they want. You can be unhappy, and you'll wind up getting moved. You can just – and the Sixers picked up James Harden's option for next year, so they're paying him $47
million. Oh, okay. So he's not a free agent. Okay,
My bold prediction is they'll trade him before next season is over to another team. Win a ship and then move off him and save the money.
That's what I'm saying. You get like a 3 to 4 month window where James Harden is pumped to be in your city. He will like embrace everything about your city for 3 months. And then he's going to find something to get pissed off about. But that could work. Like, it's good that you made this move now and not 3 months ago, because then he would be pissed off by the time the playoffs rolled around.
Do you want to know my bold prediction? But it's not good.
Give it to me.
I think James Harden and Joel Embiid are going to be fucking insane together, and they're going to go on a tear, and then Joel Embiid's going to get injured at, like, the end of March.
Why would you say that?
I told you I didn't want to say it. I had a thought. I was like, it's going to be.
Why would you put that
it's
darkness
be beautiful,
into the atmosphere?
It's going to be beautiful basketball.
Why would you even introduce those thoughts into the world?
Because it's like also perfect for Daryl Morey, like his entire reputation of being like it, he's a genius. It just breaks haven't gone his way.
Doc Rivers, James Harden, and Joel Embiid have not had a lot of success getting out of the second round of the playoffs.
I was about to say, like, if you're in a game seven and you're the two guys that are leading your team out onto the court are James Harden and Doc Rivers, you can't feel that confident.
I love Joel Embiid, though.
Yes.
He's the best player in the NBA right now. I just declared that.
MVP'd.
There we go.
MVP.
All right, that's the perfect way to send Roan off.
All right, see you,
Roan. Yes.
Isn't it weird, though, that like everybody in the league is pissed off? Everyone is deeply unhappy, and then you've got NBA media watching players get really unhappy, and they're like, this is awesome. This is fucking awesome how depressed these guys
There's
are.
There's like four There's or so five guys. Drama. Like, Ja Morant's happy. I think Steph Curry's happy. I think the Suns are happy.
I think Kawhi's happy.
Yeah, Kawhi's
just
happy.
Like kind of a neutral sense.
The Bucks are happy. Heat culture.
Are the Bucks happy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've had like four or five games in the last couple weeks where they have crushed teams.
Yeah,
like I think they scored over 130 like three times in a row. It was nuts.
I think the Heat are happy too.
Yeah, Heat culture.
First place.
Yeah, the Bucks are first place. Yeah, they've been on a roll.
Half game ahead.
Yeah. And the Bucks are second.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now the Nets got two guys who are questionable with shots.
That's good. God.
Billy.
I'm glad Billy said it before I had a chance.
That was one that you would have tweeted, but you were like, no, I can't do that.
I think I actually typed in the Nets lead the league in Australian guys who are afraid to take shots. And then I deleted it. I was like, no, I'll save that one for Ravel.
That took really hard.
Last thing on the NBA trade deadline, LeBron, all-time quote. He said, obviously, this is something that's weighing on this group that we're all trying to get through. Almost feels like it's a fog, just a fog in the air. LeBron James made this group. He's the GM of the Lakers. That quote, he's like basically like, it's tough for all of us. We don't know who's going to get traded.
So if
you're not, and also you're going to get to decide, and no one's getting traded.
Could LeBron James technically demand a trade from himself? Ask himself, hey, LeBron, hey, future LeBron, this is young LeBron. Will you please trade me in a week?
Who would have thought that adding Russell Westbrook to this team and Carmelo Anthony and like a bunch of older guys would have turned out poorly?
But it's actually
literally everyone.
In a way, it's perfect for LeBron because this season isn't his fault. This is Russell Westbrook's fault. Well, it's like the perfect scapegoat for him.
Well, I just want to remind you, we'll end with this and go to our interviews. LeBron James, in August, he deleted this, but he said, keep talking about my squad, our personnel ages. I think he said, I think it was personnel ages. The way he plays, he stays injured. We're past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please. And I mean, please keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Hashtag thank you, King's Crown. I am keeping that same energy. We all saw this coming.
Mm-hmm. Also, their team total wins under hit last night with the loss. It's February.
I got a nice future of them not to make the playoffs.
52 and a half. And they're 26 and 30.
Propwood. Love it.
I mean, I'm not even, yeah, the Cavs. I'm a Cavs fan.
Yeah. Dude, if Cavs the Cavs win life. The division, Hank wins like $1 million and he's quitting.
I'm really nervous they're going to bring that opening kickoff out.
They're not.
There's literally no way.
I'm going to bet it because you've bet with me on big moments that I'm going to repay my this relationship.
Kick Pearson.
Yeah.
I like it too.
Shirts are in store.
Just imagine Harambe looking down at the opening kickoff, just blowing with his mighty gorilla breath the ball through the end zone.
Shout out Cincinnati Zoo. Nice try, guys. Did you see the slideshow they did where they basically made an entire slideshow of all their animals and made their names like – I can't even remember. It was like Manatee Higgins.
Yeah.
They tweeted each one underneath it to basically cover up all the replies being like, what about the gorilla?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's too bad. It's too bad. Like you have to have a little bit more self-awareness than that if you're the Cincinnati Zoo to be like, okay, we're gonna just try to make ourselves go viral and not have people discuss the biggest star ever that we had that was murdered in cold blood.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Special guests, Super Bowl week from your Cincinnati Bengals. Our Cincinnati Bengals this week. It is tight end CJ Uzama and kicker Evan McPherson, Money Mac. We want to obviously talk about Money Mac and making these kicks, but we got to start with you, CJ. You're playing. Is he not Money Mac?
We call him Shooter.
You have a million nicknames.
You do.
So I just say it's whatever you want to call me. It's just a personal preference, really.
Okay. I like Kick Fearson.
Okay.
Kickfearson
I've heard that too. So.
It goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't heard that one.
If you win a Super Bowl, then it's Money Mac.
Okay.
You've also done a very good job of we're in our side of the media, and how we do our job is we have one initial – like, we see someone, we make an opinion, and then that's it forever.
Okay.
I thought you obviously sucked after the Packers game.
Yeah.
And then you've been able to switch that, like, almost instantly with your run in the playoffs and all these big kicks you made.
Yeah.
So, actually, let's start with that. That celebration when you didn't hit the kick.
Yeah.
That sucked.
I mean, I think it sucked just more that it was focused on me and Kevin. I think if you show probably CJ,
celebrating CJ?
Oh my, I was going crazy with Clark, with the long set. I was going crazy with them.
They do a little chest bump after their made kick, and so I'm sure they were chest bumping, doing whatever, celebrating. Yeah. And then we all look up, and the refs are down there like this, and we're all like, what happened?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, probably halfway... the ball halfway to the uprights was just dead center,
right?
In our eyes, and then I look away, start celebrating, and just, that thing just takes a hard left. But that was a good learning experience.
Yeah, you
know, I'll never celebrate a kick that I'm really not sure of.
See it all the way through.
Yep. Let other people start the celebration, and then you react to their celebration.
So
what happened that game? That was a weird game because it was like you and Mason.
Yeah.
And there was just something going on where there was like a force field between the uprights.
No, it was super weird. And I feel like there's definitely kind of games or even weekends like that, because I feel like in the NFL that week, there might have been a couple missed kicks or extra points or something like that. And so, but yeah, I mean, it was just super weird. And, you know, me and Mason had a word after the game, and, you know, he had a 51-yard field goal going the same way, and his kind of did the same exact thing as mine did. Mm-hmm. So it's like on the field, it kind of felt left to right, but it's like when it got to the upright, it was – kind of right to left.
See, we thought it was the moon. We thought that there was something going
it
on.
It was
like,
a full moon.
Yeah, like something with astrology, like when Mercury is behind Jupiter or whatever, kickers start to fuck up everywhere.
Venus. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. CJ, I wanted to ask you about your leg because it looked like a nasty hit when you got taken out there. But you say that you're going to play. You're going to try. Is this smoke and mirrors? Are you smoke and mirroring me?
No. I mean, this is the Super Bowl, man. I'm not missing. I can't. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much I'm going to play. I don't know how much they're going to limit me. But I told the coaches. I told my PT guys. I told Nick. And Nick knows I'm going to play. Coach knows I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm playing.
What's it at right now? Like, where are you? I mean, you're not 100%.
Right. It's just, I don't know. We'll see this week for sure. To
okay,
be honest,
that was smart. I almost got you. You can't tell me. I got you. Like 85?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see this
80.
Week.
Okay.
Yeah, it just depends.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm like 80% right now. What do you feel, Evan? Like, let's all do percentages right now, just around the room.
I'm probably 105 just because of this weather.
105, respect, yep. Yeah. The weather, PFT, how are you feeling?
I'm a 91.
Okay, and then CJ,
wait, why
are you
an 80 out of curiosity?
I had a little slip at the pool today that was...
I saw that. Yeah, that was...
It wasn't good. It wasn't great. But here I am. I'm much like you, next play.
I mean, I think personally, then I have to be a little bit above that.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you're above 80%.
Yeah, I mean.
All right, so put on a quote board, blast that out. CJ Uzomah feels better than 80%.
There's something about tight ends. It's like you and Kittle, where we always joke around about Kittle. Like, he just goes to the sideline if he gets taken out, and he'll just, like, will himself to be healthy. He's like, no, I'm not injured. It's like he plays a lot of Halo, and he plays a lot of, like, Warzone. He hits himself with, like, a stim kit real quick.
Oh,
he's like, I'm fine to go back in. I feel like that's a very tight end mentality, just be like, nope, I'm going to play. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you got the self-res going. That's what I have right now. I got the little self-res going. Yeah. A little help from Nick, the PT. He's my teammate trying to get me right, dropping some shields for me, and I'm good to go.
Yes. So, all right. So, like, has it set in yet? So you guys just landed, right? We're talking to you. You landed a couple hours ago. Yeah. It's Super Bowl week. When is the jitters start to, like, oh, shit, this is Super Bowl week?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I think that this team's probably just so confident that I don't know if we're really going to have jitters at all. I think we're going to, you know, prepare so well for this game, and, you know, we're so ready for it. And we've got so many players from winning programs that this is normal for them. And so I feel like, you know, we've had some guys that have been there, done that. And for those guys, I feel like there won't really be many jitters. There's going to be a lot of excitement, I feel like, more than jitters.
It's true. Like, a lot of the guys, I mean, you got Florida, Auburn, like, played in big, big games. And, you know, Joe, obviously. So, CJ, you've been on the Bengals for a while now. You went through the roster purge, which is kind of crazy. You've seen both sides of it. What do you think the similarities are between Andy Dalton and Joe Burrow?
Good question.
The similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Both
That's QB1s.
Nice guys.
Yeah, they're both QB1s.
No, but seriously, what, like, Joe Burrow, like, everyone talks about, like, we know Joe a little bit. Is it really what everyone says in terms of, like, the way he commands the locker room and just the, like, you look at him and you're like, all right, we got this. We're okay.
Dude, yeah. Okay, so, like, it's just, like, we're on the same, the way our locker room's set up. We're in the country club. That's what we call it. Everyone else is in different, like, sections, but we're in the country club. You have to pay a membership fee. But he sits closest to the wall, and there'll be times where he's just staring, like, into space. And we're all on our phones. We're all doing stuff, and he's just, like, not moving. And he won't move for, like, 2 minutes, and then he'll just snap out of it real quick and then look at his phone and then move. And we're like – but then a couple minutes later, it's just same, like robot, like, robot-like. And it's weird, but, like, that's how he is, like, all the time. So in the huddle, he'll just be same thing, and we're like, all right, well, he's thinking of something. I don't know what he's thinking, but he's thinking about killing this team or scoring the game-winning touchdown. I don't know what it is, but we're all, like, having a good time. Then all of a sudden, he starts talking. We're like, all right, shut up. Listen. Mm-hmm. All right, nice. Here we go. Go score. Go win the game.
So it's never rah-rah. It's never like, we got, like, let's go, boys. Let's get it together.
There'll be times where it is, but it's not like how I am, where I'm just, like, yelling at the top of my lungs. It's kind of just like, you know, there's a soundbite of him saying, all right, when we score, we're going to go for two. And Jamar's like, shit, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. But Joe's just like, yeah, all right, that's it. I'm like, monotone. Just hold on. Let me listen to the play real quick. So, yeah, it's something like that. And that's stone cold killer.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
What about what he said on Monday about, like, hey, advice to youngsters out there. When you work out, you don't have to post a video of you working out and then go home.
you know, sit at home for 4 days and then just like put it all over social media. Who on the team was he talking about specifically? When he was that?
Was it bottle? Was it bottle cap? Evan McPherson bottle cap?
I don't think it was that. No.
It might be.
You sat for a while after you hit that bottle cap. No,
you didn't get out and make another TikTok right afterwards.
No, I didn't. I think that was probably one of the few kicking videos I've posted on social media. I used to post a lot in high school, you know, try to get, you know, some recruiting done on Twitter and whatnot. But ever since college, I don't really post many kicking videos. So just like Joe said, you know, you do your work in private and not really share it.
Yeah. What's the longest field goal that you've hit in practice?
75 yards.
When
was that?
It's in college.
Wow.
See, I've been saying this for years, which is like kickers at the professional level, they can make, most of them should be able to make around 70-yard field goals. Yeah. But coaches, it takes them a while to like catch up to that and to be able to trust a kicker. Then obviously like the field goal or the field position that goes along with it. Have you told your coach like, hey, let me try a 70-yarder?
I don't know if he'd let me try a 70, but it'd have to be the right conditions for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if 70 is the right number. Maybe 67 to break the record, but we'll see.
I read that in the Titans game, your range was 57. I think Coach Taylor said after, like, we needed to get to the 40, which is a 57-yarder.
Yeah, so going that way, we were kind of going into the win. And so we knew at most the 40-yard line, so it would be a 58-yard field goal. We knew going into the win that was probably the max distance, really. I mean, 60 with adrenaline and whatnot, but probably nothing really past that.
So did you actually say, guess we're going to the AFC Championship game?
I mean, I said something along, like I told Brandon, I was like, well, I said, let's go to the AFC Championship game. So I wasn't like, we're going, you know, but it was like, you know, it was a confident, I guess, statement, but it is something I said, yeah.
I think we need to just, like, we need to solidify that rumor because it's such a cool story, even if it's not totally true.
Right.
Because I heard, you can just confirm this if it's true. Yeah. I heard that after you made it, you pulled out a piece of paper from your right shoe that said, we're going to the AFC Championship game.
Well, yeah. No.
Is that true?
I heard some of that. But I also heard he pulled out a piece of paper. He said, we're going to the AFC Championship game, and we're going to make Patrick Mahomes forget how to play football in the second half and then go to the Super Bowl. That's what I heard you said.
Yeah.
Huh? Fact.
Sounds good to
Another
me.
Fact. What happened at halftime in that game?
What happened at halftime in the Kansas City game?
In the Kansas City. Something changed. Like it was like the end of the first half.
Did you guys kidnap Patrick Mahomes? Like what happened?
Yeah, what was the speech? Did somebody give you a speech, or was it just like you could feel the energy change? Because it was a completely different football game.
I mean, I wasn't in the locker room at halftime. We kind of go in.
They lock you out.
You know, take a piss and then just walk straight back out. Like that's just what we do.
It's just the secret stuff, guys. Yeah, we just have the secret stuff.
So he could probably tell you what the speech was.
That's what it is.
But the turning point was the play right before the half.
Yep. Yes.
You know, we stop him on the one. We're walking into the locker room and I was like, you know, that probably just won us the game there. Like that just shifted everything kind of in our favor.
Is he authorized to say that? Like, we could feel the entire team change. Like as a kicker, and I know because I am a kicker. I know that, like, my job is to not open my mouth. I kick for one day. But, like, what was it like for the real players that were invited into the locker room?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, though. Evan talks a lot of shit. So, for a kicker who's not really supposed to say a whole lot, he does talk a lot of smack. Which, I mean, he's I guess good, I talk though. A lot. You can't really say anything, right? Yeah.
Right, he makes them.
He makes everything anyway, so it's like, all right, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happens at halftime. Like, we're a second-half team, and we don't love that. You know, we want to come out hot and just absolutely bury a team. And we've been talking about it this week. But there is something about our second-half adjustments that are just – I mean, it's wild. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not even the second-half adjustments. The fact that you guys, like – obviously, you have confidence, but you were a 10-7 team. It's not like you guys were dominating teams all year. And then this run has just been incredible. Did you have that confidence going into – I know you, CJ, being on the Bengals for a long time now, like the city wanted just a playoff win. And then to get all the way to the Super Bowl, it's crazy. Did you feel like, hey, we could actually do this?
Yeah, for sure. I think I've made some bold statements at the beginning of the year, and some people definitely laughed at me for them. But I knew what we had. I knew who he had at quarterback and the playmakers that he had around him, that he was just going to get him the ball. And the guy that we have running the ball will make people pay too. And I knew what our defense was capable of, kind of. you know, I didn't know that they were going to like ball out and like people were going to make mistakes and they were going to capitalize on them the way that they did. But yeah, I mean, this run is, I didn't expect it. You know, like, you know, I remember Sam saying, you know, I just want to get that one, that first win, that first playoff win. And I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, nice. Now we got it. Like, what next though? Like, right afterwards, I'm like, all right, cool. We got another game. Like, we're probably going to Tennessee right now. Like, what's good? So, and then it's just another game. Like, we got a bunch of young guys who just don't know any better. Yeah. Like, they don't understand anything. They're just like, yeah, it's a football game. Oh, cool. Like, talk to me about media. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go out there. Jamar. I'm still going to go out there and gritty. Cool. Like, that's all I care about. Yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. Good.
Yeah. We're down 11 at the half. Okay. We got this.
Exactly.
I like that, though. It's like the moment, it can't be too big because you don't know enough about the moment to begin with.
Exactly.
You're just going through it. Yeah.
All right. So, CJ, you went to Auburn. We like to do a thing in media where we do the talk about questions.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about. So, talk about the current state of Auburn and the coach.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's nuts.
What are you specifically talking about?
Yeah, you know, just you're talking about Coach Pearl, obviously, in basketball, the number one. Oh, yeah. Smart, come on now. Come smart. On. Yeah, we're number one in basketball. It's crazy.
You're in everything school.
We are. Yes. If you look, we have like the number one bass fishing team, too, I saw. Who knew we had a bass fishing team? Not me, but I'm definitely getting a jersey. So, so.
It is crazy, though. Looking, you know, you've had it twice now in the pros and in college where you were on a team at Auburn that was very bad, the 0-8, you know, SEC team, and then you went to the national title the next year, kind of a similar thing with the Bengals turnaround. Like, how, when it's bad, does it ever feel like it's going to get good again? Or have you, did Auburn teach you that, like, hey, we can turn this around with a couple players?
Yeah, I think Auburn was different because – at the time, I was like, "This isn't gonna get better."
Yeah, it was. I mean, like, 0-8 in SEC.
Straight up, I was like, "I don't know if this is gonna get too much better." And then, you know, we had a coaching change, and I was like, "Okay, well, this is a little different for sure." And then I think here, I knew because we've had Zach for 3 years, and I was like, "Oh, it's eventually gonna get to where it needs to be." Like, I know, you know, it's not gonna happen directly overnight, but I know the kind of guy that he is, the kind of people that we're bringing into the organization, the coaches. As long as we buy into what he's trying to implement in us, we'll be fine.
If Coach Taylor was walking down the street, would you be able to recognize him?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Would anybody else?
Right, we don't know. No, he got carded, right?
Yeah, he did.
Tell that story.
Kevin, so we have game balls that were passed around the city, and Kevin was with them, and I didn't know Kevin was with them. I thought Kevin was going to go to another place. And so we're in a group message about, like, hey, where are we going? What are we going to, like, who are we giving the game balls to?
This is after the Raiders win. They're giving out the game balls to the city, yeah.
And so he goes to MLT's, Mount Lookout Tavern, and the guy just was like, I don't know who this is, so I'm just going to card him. And right when it happens, Kevin immediately texts us, and he's like, you're not going to believe this. Like, the guy didn't know. Like, he just was like, hey, give me your card. And he looked at it, he handed it back to him, still didn't know. Just like, all right, next person. I was like, that's unreal. Absolutely incredible. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think if you win the Super Bowl, I think we'll probably be able to recognize Zach at that point.
Oh,
at that point, it'll sink in. But we were joking the other day. We're like, it looks like Patrick Reed lost a lot of weight. That's like his – he looks a very generic white guy. Kind of toss, but yeah.
I'd have heard that to you.
Yeah.
That's it. It's probably a good way of describing him.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. You were on Auburn for the kick six, right?
I was.
Were you on the field for that?
I was not. I ended up on the field after we rushed it, but I was not on the field.
Well, walk us through that play and your emotions on that play.
Well, I'll say I'm glad Evan wasn't the kicker because he's out here smacking 75-yarders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
it would have gone through.
No, it was insane. I kind of blacked out. I jumped on the pile. I'm running down the sideline. Everyone's just running down the sideline. That's my vantage point. Mm-hmm. Jump on the field or jump on the pile, and I get off. I actually see my high school teammate, which was sick. He's running off the field. He played for Alabama, and he was running off the field, and I, like, gave him a hug.
And oh, that's fucked up.
I'm sure he appreciated
that. That's fucked up. That's so mean. I would be so mad.
Sorry, Austin. He wasn't happy. He gave me a hug back, but he wasn't happy about it. But right afterwards, I was on, like, the 25-yard line. I look up, and I'm like, I'm not getting back into the locker room. There's no shot. Like, yeah. It was just a sea of people. And I'm like, this is sick, but we're going to be stuck here for like 30 minutes. I didn't get back into the locker room until like 30 minutes. I don't think Chris Davis, I don't know when he got back, but I was gone before I saw him. So like, it took it had to take him forever to get back into the locker room.
Can you walk us through like the pile situation when you jump onto the pile and then people jump again onto you, forming a bigger pile? How long do you have? Like, are you sitting there until everyone is like, okay, I think the pile's over?
Dude, I got super lucky because I jumped on. I saw like someone jumped on me and someone jumped on him, and the third person or the second person that jumped on like us knocked both of us off, and I was like, good. That's actually probably smart because I'm looking at the pile like, Chris is probably screwed under there. Like, he's probably gasping for breath.
No, the pile gets scary sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When it stacks up, it's like you can't breathe in there.
Yeah, and then you freak out because you can't breathe.
Yeah, I would freak out big time. So, all right, so that's obviously a memorable SEC game. Evan, I'll do a memorable SEC game for you.
All right.
What does Coach Mullen say after you lose to LSU? And it's like, wait, who threw that shoe?
Yeah, I think that LSU game is probably more on me than it is on Marco.
Really?
Because I missed the field goal to go into overtime.
It was foggy, though.
It was foggy, but you know, there's no excuse. Their kicker went down and made like a 57-yard field goal after I missed. So I'll take a lot of blame for that one. But
that's credit to you because I actually don't. I just remember the shoe. So yeah. you just told on yourself for no reason.
Yeah. So the shoe the shoe did take a lot of pressure off of me, I will say, but that was a unique situation, and it was definitely one of those learning points for Marco to just kind of, you know, keep his composure in those freaking moments, because obviously it would have been 4th and 5, whatever it was, and they were going to punt it to us, game's tied, we were either going to drive down, kick a field goal, win it, or score a touchdown. I mean, that's how it was going to end, but, you know, the personal foul. And
that Florida team was fun, though. You guys were a lot of fun, that SEC championship game against Alabama when you guys went toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah. No, like, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably one of the most fun games I played in that. And obviously, I got to play against, you know, Joe Burrow, Jamar, and all them. We beat them in the Swamp my first year. Then we went to Death Valley at night my second year, and that game was just insane. That was whenever they went on their run.
Yeah.
They beat us by, like, 2 scores, I think. But, I played in a lot of good SEC games. Played against Auburn, beat them in the Swamp.
Wait, okay, but yeah, cool. You're going to talk about beating Auburn. But can we talk about the shoe game again? You missed a field goal. How far was it?
51.
Oh, okay, so you would have missed.
It was foggy.
No, but so you would have missed against us also, because you were talking crap about it. It would have gone through with kick
True,
six.
True, good point.
It was foggy.
No. Yeah, it was foggy. It was very foggy.
Also, right. I feel like you should be allowed to throw a shoe. If the shoe comes off, like what, you're supposed to give it back to the guy?
I mean, yeah, I don't think – I think you threw it like 20 yards, 25 yards.
It was a pretty good toss.
Yeah, it was a good toss.
I know a lot of the players on the team loved Dan Mullins when he was coaching there. Was it ever a little awkward, like getting off the bus and it's like now you have to get a kiss from his wife?
See, I mean, it that part, it wasn't really what it seemed.
So explain how it wasn't.
Yeah, go on.
So, I mean, no, Megan, she's a really nice lady, and she just wanted to really show her support of, you know, all the players. And so just one way that she did that, and she didn't even kiss you. It was kind of just like one of those, like, cheek-to-cheek, like, you know, those fancy little, like, you meet somebody.
Yeah, French,
Yeah, the French little thing.
Hank does that
the French greeting
podcast. Yeah. On the way
okay,
out,
exactly. Yeah. And so it was really one of those. And, I mean, obviously, there's probably pictures.
You said there are, French kiss?
There,
yeah, that's what I heard. Fair enough.
I know there are pictures online that make it look worse than it is. But, I mean, it wasn't really anything.
Yeah. She was trying to show support.
Exactly. And she, like I said, she was a really nice lady. And, I appreciate her for actually trying to be involved. You know,
right.
I mean,
making a family.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. How much do you squat?
Not much.
Really? So how come you're able to kick a ball 75 yards?
It's all about leg speed. It's not about strength, really. Like my little brother weighs probably 150, and he's hit a 75 yard field goal.
He's going to Auburn, right?
Yeah, he's going to Auburn.
Damn, that's
War Eagle.
What happened there?
It's just what he wanted to do. You know, I mean.
Now, and you're from Alabama, right?
Yeah.
So, and Nick Saban just doesn't like to have kickers, so that's why you didn't go to Alabama?
It was a weird situation. They actually wanted me to come and punt there.
Really?
Because it was, at that time, kind of J.K. Scott was on his way out, and so they had a kicker come in the year before me. It was Joseph Bulovas, which he transferred to Vandy, I know, a couple years ago. But so they thought they had their kicker. They wanted me to come punt, but you know, I didn't want to punt in college. I really wanted to kick field goals.
Yeah, it is just so funny, though. Like, Alabama, through all their run, Yeah. Like, that's been their one thing that you'd be like, well, they never got a kicking game. It's like, yeah. I think that's probably not a bad thing if they win, you know, seven national titles, six national titles, they can't kick a field goal. Yeah. But you could have fixed it.
I mean, maybe, I think their biggest issue was just the quarterback holding. I think as I think as a kicker, you really got to bond kind of with your holder, and just with it being a punter, you spend all practice with him. You know, you can practice off to the side if it's a start. If it's Mac Jones, he's got other stuff to deal with. And,
yeah,
you know, he throws a long touchdown pass, he's going to jog down there and then hold the ball for you. I mean, he's not going to be locked in. You know,
I think that's a good point. Like, if you're playing quarterback and if you have like a touchdown run, you're tired, and then you have to go hold for a kick. It makes sense to have a specialist do a specialist thing.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So your punter is your holder now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
just
great at
it. Yeah.
Coach Saban probably saw your squat numbers, and he was like, I like to have my kickers as lead blockers in big games when I'm running like a fake fullback dive. And he was like, I can't work with this.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
You dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you want to ask the Harambe question?
No, you can ask the Harambe question.
So,
you knew the Harambe question was coming.
Yeah,
you've probably been asked this like 100 times this week.
So, how much is Harambe going to play a part in like what you guys are trying to accomplish on Sunday?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you all asked Sam. Sam, he nailed it. You know,
he speaks for all of you.
It's been tough.
Yeah,
it's been tough out there.
Yeah, you were in Cincinnati at the time.
I was.
So you know.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah. Well, they killed the gorilla.
I was like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
Do you think
and
that...
then you look at the, I think there was an election like that year or the year after, and like 25,000 votes for Harambe. Yeah. I'm dead serious. I was like, oh my God.
What a weird time.
So do you think that
it's an easier time, honestly.
Yeah, really. Like, we really cared about, our nation was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
The gorilla died.
So if you guys win on Sunday, do you think, I mean, will anyone, maybe both of you, say, like, this was for Harambe?
I'm going to defer that to Sam.
Yeah.
I'll let Sam.
Okay. He's a Cincinnati kid. Native. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, so maybe that's, he does do a speech right before every game about Harambe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
He does the whole thing. You should have, on the Zoom, you should have had him act it out because he does it's a whole production.
Like a recreation of the event?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, not of the event.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. Just like, he just gets into character. It's good.
Okay. He starts beating his chest.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
What about this, Evan? What if you kick a 70-yard field goal to win the Super Bowl as time expires? Would you get a Harambe tattoo?
I will say I will. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 70-yard field goal to win the Super Bowl.
An NFL record long field goal to win the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Okay. Now I'm going to give you guys a little motivation because, you know, we're in the T-shirt business. So we have to get T-shirts for both sides. We have Bengals winning the Super Bowl, Rams winning the Super Bowl. I did just get earlier today a text message from an image that I requested of a Rams Super Bowl T-shirt, and it is a dead Harambe with the little child in a backpack. It's actually Sean McVay because he's so short, and he's standing over a dead Harambe. I don't want to put that shirt up in the store.
Yeah.
So you guys have to stop that.
Okay.
Like, we already had one tragedy with Harambe. Let's not have another where I have to sell this shirt of Sean McVay as a child, little itsy-bitsy child standing over a dead Harambe.
Was that your idea?
Yes.
Yeah. We actually came up with it.
I'll show you guys. It's fucking awesome. It's a hilarious shirt.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very funny shirt. I don't want to put it on sale. I might. You know what? I hope you guys win and I'll still put it on sale. And we can just, like, that'll be funny.
It's like, then what's our shirt?
Oh, no.
No, we have.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I mean, again,
we have a lot of shirts ready for you guys,
He's giving us extra motivation right now.
Yeah.
We have one.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I think one with just Harambe holding up the Lombardi trophy. We're heavily leveraged in the Lombardi or in the Harambe space.
Yeah,
right now.
We've got all of our stock is just in the Harambe market right now. So you really
smart.
Need you guys to win.
That's smart.
All right.
Oh man. Okay. Just a heads up. The halftime is a little bit longer.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl. I don't know if anyone's told you.
I'm gonna enjoy it.
How much longer?
You can't kick during the halftime because they're gonna have a show.
I'm gonna try to be out there watching it.
Really?
I gotta be. I mean. This is going to be insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like your.
So
like,
I remember during the Orange Bowl, my sophomore year, they had like Gavin DeGraw out there performing, and we came out early and just were going crazy. Just and then jamming? Like, and they run off the stage, and all the specialists are right there, just kind of high fiving, you know, like saying what's up. So I mean, I would love to meet, you know, Eminem and all the performers. So
I love it. I love it. All right, I only have one last question. CJ, you have Joe Burrow saved as Joey franchise in your phone because you. I read the story that you went to text him and you couldn't find his number.
Yeah. I was an idiot. I was like, where is your number? And then I typed in franchise and I was like, I should probably change that. I'm not going to.
You can't.
But I need to put like in quotes like Burrow.
Yes.
Type in B. Oh, nice. All right, cool. You're there. You know what I'm saying? But whatever. I can't now.
Want to FaceTime him?
What if somebody finds your phone and then they're like, oh, it's Joe Burrow. Like that, you have to have like a little bit of security, right?
I guess that's true. But then maybe I should do that for like everyone then.
Yeah.
Wait, do you want to FaceTime him real quick just so we can say what's up?
Do you want to FaceTime?
No, you FaceTime him. FaceTime. We'll say what's up, Joey Franchise.
I'll tell you what he said about
if he doesn't answer
about you.
That's
Evan.
Okay. If he doesn't answer, Evan probably doesn't have his number. But
do you have his number?
I asked him when
what?
You want to know
a fun fact, CJ? I think you were the first person to text me after I got drafted.
Yeah.
He called me. First person to call me after I got drafted.
Really? Yeah. It does feel, and this is a compliment, CJ. I know you're a humble guy, but like it does feel like watching the Bengals, Joe Burrow is like the leader, but CJ is kind of the heartbeat. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, everything that I've seen.
Maybe like the energy, you know?
The energy?
Yeah. Something like
the
that.
Who's the soul of the team? Harambe. That was a dumb question. That was a dumb question.
That was a trick question.
I'm
going to now. It took the internet's kind of fishy over here.
Oh, is that what it is?
My phone's not used to the California.
We got fishy internet.
We got fishy internet. Uh-huh.
Hmm.
It's not even ringing.
Oh no.
Maybe y'all got to do it.
Hmm.
Maybe I got blocked.
It's a possibility. You want me to try?
Gosh. Yeah.
This is what he said. This is what he said about Evan earlier because we didn't know that CJ was coming until a couple of hours ago. I said, Evan McPherson is coming by today. Is he cool? And Joe said, ha ha, yeah, he is. Not a normal kicker. I usually don't like kickers, but he's cool. You're one of the good ones. Should I FaceTime?
Give it a shot.
Should we see?
Do you have him under franchise?
No, I just have him as Joe Burrow best friend. He's probably not going to pick up.
There's no shot. Actually.
Why does yours work? Are you on the
Wi-Fi? I'm on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. We are on the Wi-Fi. He's probably smart to not pick up because we don't want to.
Yeah.
But he's probably thinking about Harambe right now.
Mm-hmm. This is his reflection time.
That's probably why he's not answering.
This is exactly what when time he got is shot. It? Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
This time this of day.
All right, yeah. Yep.
That's all right.
Oh, wow, man. That sucks.
All right, well, best of luck, guys. We're rooting for you.
Appreciate it.
Big time.
Appreciate
just
it.
Just cover four. That's fine.
Yeah. And your Gatorade's orange, right?
Yeah, it is. I never drink the Gatorade, though, but it is always orange.
Okay.
Maybe that's why I don't drink the Gatorade.
Wait, what else is there to drink on the sideline? Is there another?
Just water.
Okay, so I just that's actually important water. To know, though, because if you guys were to win, you would probably be one of the guys who may, and you would go for the water? Clear?
Huh?
Every time?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
This is interesting. You got to get Joe Burrow's number, Evan. Come on.
Do you really not have his number?
No.
Is that bad? Is that
thing me?
Do
and
you want me to send it to you?
You think we just text all the time?
Chop it up. I don't text them too much.
You
I
should
text them random.
You
stuff.
Should text them on Sunday morning. Be like, "Good luck today."
That actually would be hilarious.
That would be great. Loosen it up. All right, guys. Well, best of luck.
Good
Thank
luck.
You for coming by. Appreciate
We're rooting
it.
For you.
Yeah,
appreciate
and
it.
And betting heavily on you.
Yeah. And so hopefully you won't have to sell. That shirt.
Yes.
No.
Well, it would be very
God
funny
forbid.
If we did. But we don't want
God
to.
Forbid we sell that shirt. CJ Uzama and Evan McPherson was brought to you by our good friends at Black Rifle Coffee. We love Black Rifle Coffee. Billy and I and Bubba and Snapchat Steve were chugging it on the drive to the 405. It fueled us. That was the real fuel that we were using.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
This is going to go on Friday with two Bengals players, and everyone's like, dude, you don't rep LA, you don't rep the Rams, so you are now, you're our token LA guy.
I'll be the token. I'm surprised you didn't ask me for any like recommendations or anything. You know, I didn't get hit up for any recs.
Yeah, I actually wanted to dive into that because I've been looking for a dispensary,
okay,
but one that just exclusively sells mids.
Mm. Oh, like bad shit.
Yeah, like average stuff. Because
swag.
Maybe got
some seeds.
Bad weed.
Yeah, bad weed. Because it's too good nowadays.
It's
and
hard
I can't
to
smoke
find
it.
Out here, man.
It sucks.
The weed has gotten too good.
It is.
It's gotten much too good. And I remember like, in high school, like 30% THC was like, this will knock you on your ass. You haven't heard of shit like this. And now, I like went to a dispensary a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I want something like pretty casual. I don't smoke as much as I used to. I would like to not. I'd like to have a life after this.
Yes.
And they're like, this is solid. And I look at it, it's like 38% THC.
Yeah, it's low grade.
And I'm like, this is your decent shit? She's like, yeah, it's like okay. I'm like, how is this okay? So yeah, I just when I go, I just ask for like bad.
Yeah,
I just say I want something like pretty bad.
Yeah,
that's smart. I need to start asking for bad because I have been asking for mids, and you get mids, and you're right. It's like in high school, middle school, you had like a friend whose older brother would get his hands on something with like the frosty crystals on it once every 6 months. And that was like a big weekend. It's like, okay, we're going to rent a movie. We get
smell
all the snacks. Yeah, yeah, you bring
smell
it around.
It. Like, smell it. Don't even smoke it. Just
like,
smell it.
Look at it. Yeah. Look, just look at it.
Put the light on it. Put the LED on it. Yeah. Look at all the crystals.
Yeah, exactly. And, see those purple hairs, the purple threads that are running through it? That'll get you fucked up.
And then you
up.
Smoke it out of like the worst bowl possible, like a one.
No, yeah, you go to the store, you get like a 20-ounce Sprite bottle, a ballpoint pen, aluminum foil, and then you stick it through the side.
I used to do the paper towel roll, and then you cut a hole at the end and the little tin foil. It's basically like smoking crack, but it's just weed. And it's like, look at this shit. It's incredible.
I used to really love MacGyvering bongs.
Yes. It was
like,
fun.
It used to be fun. You didn't know, you know, you didn't have the supplies. So you're like, you look around the room and you're like, all right, what do we have? We got a Coke can.
Yeah.
We got some foil. You know, we got a lighter. We can do this.
We can get this done.
One time I went to the convenience store to try to get all the ingredients, which was the 20-ounce bottle, Bic pen, and then aluminum foil. They didn't have aluminum foil. And I was buying – I had to resort to buying a Nestle Crunch bar because it comes, it comes wrapped in aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And I was so – I was like, this guy knows that I'm buying
poke
stuff for weed.
Yeah.
He's going to call my dad.
This is like I didn't think we were going to go down this road, but like the throwback, it is funny thinking about like getting that weed and being like, this isn't, I don't even want to smoke it. I want to look at it and I want to smell it and I want to just have it.
It's like buying like really nice shoes.
Yeah. Like, no, don't wear those.
We don't smoke that. We don't smoke that.
Yeah, like we're saving this.
That's for the shelf.
It's collector's items. It's like baseball cards now. Yeah. It's like I got some Afghan 08. It's still in mint condition right now.
And it's also like going into those like smoke shops where they had to pretend that it was for tobacco. Like I always thought, I thought it'd be so funny if like someone who actually went in there being like, I'm going to buy this bong and I'm going to just rip like a shitload of tobacco out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'd be like, not
for
weed.
They used to be
kind
of anal about that. Yeah. They used to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then I think over time they kind of were like,
yeah.
Target.
But it would just be like bowls and bongs and be like, this is for tobacco use only.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to just rip a bowl of American Spirit out of this roar, out of this zong.
I kind of want to do that. I kind of want to go out, buy a giant roar.
Yeah.
Me and Bubba were talking about roars on the way, on the drive over here, and it's like everybody had a massive bong when they were in college.
Yeah.
And then once you move out of college, if you have a bong in your house, it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a giant red flag. Nobody will date you if you have like a 3-foot bong. Unless
it's like all dirty and
shit.
Yeah,
you need like a guitar case under your bed to put like a gun case to keep your bong as an adult.
When I got to junior year, I got there after all of my roommates. They were already in the house. And I got there and they were like, you owe us $200 for the bong.
Your share of the bong.
And I was like, well, I didn't sign off on this. And I walked upstairs, and they had, it was the zong, it was called. Mm-hmm. It was this huge thing, and it went boom, boom, boom,
yes.
Boom, boom, boom. And you have to stand over it.
No, it's so smooth, though. It hits so
like
smooth.
Five full inhales.
Yeah, Michael Phelps to get, like,
to milk the thing. And then you pull it, and then it would be like a rotation of eight people that would, and then just die.
Yes.
And everyone would come over to our house and be like, we got to hit the zone. Like, we live here. We don't want to do this all the time.
It ruins our day. Yeah. Like, it's also funny thinking about like all the like different pieces. Like, all right, what do we want to use today? Like a bubbler, a one hitter, a bowl, a bong. Like you have all these things. Like it's just smoking weed.
No, my buddy, he rolls the tightest splits.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, should we do a blunt?
Dude, I roll them so tight, you can't even fucking smoke them.
Yeah. A little skeeter leg.
Gravity bong was always like the, like, holy shit. Like, we're going to make a day out of this.
Yeah.
get the sink. No one used the sink for the rest of the day.
You ever take the 5-gallon thing and put it in the pool?
Yes.
Oh,
the,
man.
In the tub or the pool and the sink, and you're just like, no one, don't use it. You can't use the sink for the rest of the day because the gravity bong set up.
I'm actually convinced that most of my friends learned the principles of physics through creating bongs and then smoking weed. Like, you actually had to learn how, like, air acted in a vacuum to use a gravity bong and understand the principles of where to let the air in, where to let the air escape. It was something, man.
We should do gravity bong. My friend always used to do gravity bongs. He went to MIT, and he used to, like, make gravity bongs out of anything he could. And I'm like, we get it. You went to MIT.
Yeah.
Like, you can put your mind to more useful things than it's like those guys at MIT that build robots that can, like, you know, shoot perfect beer pong shots.
Yes.
Like, maybe figure something else out.
The robot who shoots the threes at like halftime. Yeah, it's like, well, his release, I would swat the shit out of that. Like, you couldn't get a robot who has a better release point?
Yeah, at least, you know, can he pump fake?
No handles.
A Euro maybe throw in there?
Yeah, I kind of like the idea, though, of getting our nation's and our world's smartest minds to work on, like, the very simple problems that we all use. Like, maybe there is a better way to smoke that we just haven't thought of because they're too busy designing nukes. Like, I'd like to see what those minds could do in a room with a milk carton and a lighter. That's all I'm saying.
Figure it out. Navy Figure SEAL training.
Smoking weed, I will say, is just so much less of a process than you know, it used to be like in high school, you couldn't just do it in your house. You have to leave. You have to go find a spot.
The woods.
Bring something to spray with cologne or something, so you don't come back smelling like it. Yeah,
I did have my whole my whole setup. I had like my lotion, my hand sanitizer, my eye drops, my gum,
Your Visine. Yeah. Oh my God,
and
Visine.
I would do it all in the car. Walk in, and my mom would be like, "You smoked."
Do you think
it's like Jimmy smells like cologne? He only puts it on when he gets high.
Do you think Visine? It's actually like I always think about like these companies that probably get fucked over, like a ripple down, like a trickle down effect, where like Visine's probably fucked over by the legalization of weed because people just don't care anymore about having red eyes. Whereas like it used to be, Visine was like very important. To functioning as a person.
I still care because I look so stupid. When my eyes, like, people look at me and they're like, are you okay? Are you having, like, an allergic reaction? I'm like, no, I just smoke. And they're like, well, no, I smoke. And I don't look like that. That's bad.
I'm very jealous of people that can handle their pot. That's why I need mids. Yeah. I'm fine on mids. I enjoy mids. I like a background buzz. I don't want it to be my entire day. Mm-hmm. Just me walking around thinking about how high I am.
Yeah. You like to go to sleep, take a nap, and you just wake up and you're like, I'm still high.
Still high.
See, this is the first part of an ad.
Yeah.
To our bad weed brand.
Yeah. It should just be called bad weed. Yeah.
Bad weed.
And they sell it to you in a plastic bag with like some seeds at the bottom, and you're like, well, this is kind of a throwback.
Yeah, there's like other stuff in the bag.
It's nostalgia.
Yeah, you just gotta pick out the weed.
Nostalgia weed.
So
it's not great.
Yeah.
So for Christmas, my aunt, she's in Virginia. You can now grow plants in Virginia. You can grow up to 4. She grew up, she was like a hippie back in the day. She grew her own weed plants, and for Christmas, she gave me bags of her different strands of weed, like small little bags of it. And there's just stems and seeds everywhere in it. But she was like, this is the best weed I've ever smoked, because she used to smoke the stuff like way back. And this now to her is like the top of the line. To me, it's like bad weed. I hit it, and I'm like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
That's all I want out of weed.
Just a
like
touch.
Pot from the 60s. Bad Weed Incorporated.
All right, so Home Economics 2, we got to plug it. Were you shocked that it got renewed? I actually watched it. I like it. I know that actually sounds bad the way I just said that. I don't really watch, you know, cable sitcoms, but I watch it because I support you. And it was funny. And I obviously we like Topher as well.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised that it got renewed, no. I was surprised it got renewed for 22 episodes. I didn't know that people were still doing that. I didn't know that shows still went for 22 episodes in one season.
So are you like, was it like a shitload of money? yes, that was the answer right there.
He's trying to figure out how to say. I'm trying to think. He's trying to be polite, but it's a yes.
How many commas was that laugh?
How many Teslas do you own right now? You know, did you park the Tesla or did you get a?
No, he's,
I actually just left it in front.
Yeah,
yeah. Just you just hit and then walk away.
Well, but that was because forever. The valet guy, he just took off.
I told him as he came in, Jimmy came in. I was like, this hotel we're staying at has the highest valet people of all time.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because like I got there and he was like working on something else and he just looked at me and we made eye contact and I was like, you know when you like give someone like you lift your head like it's time to engage in the service conversation? Yeah. Yeah.
We're about to take this to the next step.
And he just turns away and then just dips.
And I was like, oh no, not another car.
And I just sat there for like 5 minutes and I was like, I guess I'm just going to bring the keys to the front.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, all right. So it's sick that it got renewed. Is it like, has your life changed at all now that you are on like getting recognized, anything? Like I would imagine you have a lot more visibility.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I do, but not from the people that I'm around.
Okay.
So it might feel like less. Like,
okay.
On YouTube, it was, like, very much my like, I'm around that demographic.
Right.
And I definitely, it was like I had, not a 9-to-5, but that's, like, as close as you can get to a 9-to-5 in, like, the entertainment.
Which business. Is probably kind of, like, awesome, right?
Yeah, sure. It's, like, you know, it was, like, a 6-to-6.
Okay.
So, you know, I've been going since June, and I just wrapped on Friday.
All right, so maybe that's not awesome.
So, I,
Like five days a week?
Very relieved to
wrap it up. 5 days a week?
5 days a week.
Okay, so that's not awesome. I was thinking like like sometimes I get jealous of people who have like 9-to-5s and the fact that like it's just like they go in and they leave and then they're done.
Yeah.
Whereas like we're working at nights and stuff like that. So, but you that's a real job.
I like was very fortunate because I like everyone there. Like I like the cast.
Do they like you?
I'm pretty sure they like me.
Who would you guess doesn't like you? One of the kids?
No, there's no one. No, there's
one of the kids?
Not Topher?
No, I'm actually really cool with the kids. The kids like me a lot.
That's not what they said.
You had the kids on? Well, let's go back to that. When did you talk to the kids?
No, like we don't care what the kids said, but we don't agree with the kids.
Right.
We think that you're cool.
We're okay. Like, we like Jimmy, so stop.
Yeah, stop it, kids. Stop bullying us.
I get that. Yeah, I like everyone. Everyone is, like, good at their jobs. That's something you don't always have in, like, movies. Like, if you go do an indie movie or, like, a random movie, like, you might be around people that are, like, new. But when you're on, a network show, everyone's professionals.
Right.
So it's nice to be around people that are all good at what they do. It just, the repetition gets a little tough for me.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. And you have to just keep doing scenes over and over. Are you a one-shot guy?
No. I mean, you can't be a one-shot guy on...
We have
to do multiple
We
angles.
Always do one.
Yeah, we did one
we're
shot.
We're one and done.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let them know.
Episode two, one episode.
Yeah. And then one episode, we did one take, and that was
it. It's funny because we did do that one episode of television, and then after it comes out, there are different people that spin the ratings. I feel like it's their entire job.
Yes.
Just to, like, look at the numbers and then tell you, actually, this is really good because you were... like number one by far in 18 to 21 year old men from Massachusetts.
Mm.
So that's a very coveted demographic that like they're able to parse it so much that they can spin it no matter what happens as like a positive. This is really good. Is there a number that you pay, like, do you pay attention to the ratings at all?
I look at them. Yeah. I mean, I'll see them every now and then. I don't really care that much about them, but I'm always curious, like, how things are doing.
But it sucks, though, like, when they're just public and everyone, like PFT said, like, they spin it.
Because you can also spin it the other way.
Yeah, right, like...
But you also, like, you can see those numbers, you can see the live numbers, but you can never see, like, the Hulu numbers.
Right.
And I think that is where the show gets, like, most of
That's
its
where I watch
viewers
it.
Is on Hulu. That's where I watched.
Shout out Hulu.
So is Hulu, Hulu keeps all those numbers to themselves, and then they decide which TV shows they want to bring on based on their internal numbers? They don't publish any of that?
I don't really know, but I think they give you, like, they kind of give you what they want. Like,
right.
Like, you'll notice, like, Netflix every now and then will be like, here's some numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they'll give you, like, five numbers.
You put them together.
Netflix is like, 5 billion people just signed up for a service.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Four billion watch true crime. It's right. Like, well, what is that? What are we talking about here?
Right. They don't tell you how many signed up. They're like, well, we'll tell you how many signed up yesterday.
Yeah. You do
big number,
math.
Huh?
Yeah. Pick one number. Cool. Which number do you want? Seven? All right. Yeah. Seven. You got it.
I remember when American Vandal came out, they told us it was the most binged show of 2017. And I was like, that's cool. But wait, what does that mean? The most binged?
Yeah, right.
That's not the most watched.
That's like people watched it in the shortest amount of time?
It was like people watched three or more episodes in a row, more of that show than any other show on Netflix. I'm like, all right, I'll take it. Most binged.
Yeah, you could do that just by making a really short show.
Yeah, right.
If you made like a 3-minute show,
yeah,
I guarantee you that would be the most binged.
Yeah, 25 episodes, 3 minutes each.
Yeah. 90% of the audience watch our entire season in one sitting.
And it's actually just one episode with just cuts.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we just invented commercials.
We just put a credit. Yeah, but commercials with credits.
Yes, yes.
That's good.
We're ideas guys, execution guys.
So Rams, we got to talk about the Rams because you are a Rams representative.
I am a Ram.
What is it? Is it Ram Fam? What is it? Do you have a name for the fan base?
Yeah.
Ramley.
I don't know.
I think they have used Ramley.
What is it?
Ramley. It's like, here, it's Ramley.
It's about Ramley.
Yeah.
Ramley values.
Yeah.
My friends were saying that they want to do a shirt to say Vamos Los Ramos.
Ooh.
That's good.
That is good. So wait, are you, like, what's the vibe of Rams fans in general? Because is it weird that it's like, all right, well, this team got here 5 years ago or whatever it is, or is it, it's just normal now. We're just football fans. We're NFL fans. I'm very curious what, like, because everyone talks about L.A., and we haven't been able to put our finger on it. Like, we when we say stuff on our show, we know right away, like, oh, these fans are mad at us. These fans are mad at us. I get a few Rams fans being like, why don't you respect us? But for the most part, I can't really figure out, like, how many there are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough.
It's kind of like Netflix.
It's kind of like numbers. Netflix. Yeah. You know, we'll give you whatever numbers we feel like.
Uh-huh.
No, it. I mean, I think personally when we got the Rams, I was like, you know, I grew up here, so I never had a team, like a football team. So the second LA had the Rams, I was like, sweet, I'm a Rams fan. I'm all in on the Rams. And then there's a lot of people that are fair weather fans, like are Rams fans now. There's a lot of people that just want to go to the games for like this scene.
Right.
So it's really like all across the board, but then you also have like those Dodgers fans that have like become Rams fans, and they're like hardcore Rams fans now.
Okay.
So like it really is all across the board. Sure, there's like a lot of fair weather fans that are like, you know, just want to go to the games and be seen and take photos.
Is it a conversation though? That's kind of like, do the Rams get talked about? When you're like
amongst
your...
me and my friends,
right?
Yes, I can't speak for whoever else, but like in my fantasy football league, we're all pretty much Rams fans.
Like, I think that's the sign of like a football city, and we've been to a bunch of them, and it's like when the team is good, you feel it just walking down the street. When the team is bad, you feel it walking down the street. That probably is not the case.
It's not the case, no. But I feel like it's hard for that ever to be the case in LA,
right? Right.
Because, I don't know, no one's going to walk down, like, Sunset and be like, you know, you don't feel like a sports energy
right.
when you're walking down the street here. Maybe, like, if you're by Staples Center or, sorry.
Crypto.com.
Crypto.com.
I'm
come
so
on.
Sorry.
The Crypt, is that what it's
called?
Yeah,
the Crypt. Bill Plaschke. Shout out Bill Plaschke. He's still upset about that. He's like, this is the sign of new times that the Staples Center has sold rights to a corporation.
It's sad.
What?
It's sad that everything
has really afford.
It's sad that everything has to be about money now, and that a institution cent, like Staples had to give up their name.
Every cent Staples made must have gone towards what they were paying for this.
Right.
Staples.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Staples wasn't making. I mean,
no. No.
Yeah. You know, when was the last time you went to Staples?
Been a very long
Never.
Time.
You're paying like $20 million for a name.
That's honestly not a bad business plan, though. Like I could see, I could see myself doing something like that.
Billy just walks in,
making barely enough money to afford putting my name on a sports arena. That's kind of cool in a way.
Right.
So would the Rams be more popular if they just wore Laker uniforms? Because Laker fans are psycho. Like that's the one thing that we make jokes about. Fairweather fans and like LA not being a huge sports town, but I feel like Laker fans make up for it and then some with just being insane people.
Well, because now we're annoyed, you know, because like I said about the Clippers last time, it was like before it was just like everyone knows the Lakers are the team, and then all of a sudden you got these little fuckers coming in and being like, no, it's us. So then it got the Laker fans, I think, got more aggressive.
Yep.
Once the Clipper fans started like chirping.
And you also, like, haven't won anything. You won the Mickey Mouse title, which didn't count. So it's like, you know, LeBron Mouse. Has been here, and it's bubble. Just nothing has happened.
Yeah, I think it counts.
Who would you trade? Who would you trade as the Lakers, LeBron or AD?
Who would I trade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One's got to go.
You got to keep Westbrook, obviously. He's a centerpiece of your franchise.
He's the glue.
One got to go. I feel like you could get a lot more for LeBron right now. Because, you know, obviously a team wants to get him so his son can play.
Yeah.
I honestly think I'd still trade AD.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So Jimmy doesn't like AD. Put that
I like
in
AD.
Full
I love AD. I just, no,
just,
tried,
you just sent him out of town.
Literally just traded him.
Five consecutive games.
No, you just sent him to Minnesota.
Oh,
you said get
soft?
Out of here.
Soft?
What?
Is he soft?
I'm not saying he's soft.
Mm.
I'm just saying he could use some extra padding on the court.
Do you miss Caruso?
I do, man.
He's the best.
I love
rooting for
Caruso.
Him, he rooting for him on the Bulls is like a joy.
Oh, I forgot that you have him.
Yeah, and he's like he's been injured because Grayson Allen should be in jail and assaulted him. But
yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, asshole.
Did he get suspended for that?
One game. He should be in jail. But Caruso, like, I went to when the Bulls were in New York. I went to the game at MSG, and it's like Caruso has this confidence that is so fucking hilarious. Like, he tried to dunk on, like, three guys. It's like, that's not going to work. And he's just, he doesn't care. He's just, and he's very good.
We
but
just
he also
love to
has
see
that.
It.
Yeah.
We just love to see a high-flying white guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, with he doesn't realize that he probably shouldn't be doing this, but he's going to do it.
Yeah. I really, he was just a lot of fun to have on the, mm-hmm. on the team. He's just really fun to root for.
I used to love it before he shaved his head, before he realized that it was time. And it would, like, grow out every couple weeks and just look really trashy. But that was even funnier when he was dunking on people with, like, the full-on monk hairstyle.
Yeah.
Like, the bald top on
got
it.
A rocking a cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. You rarely just see that in professional basketball.
Jamming out in the dead end.
It would have been sick if one day he showed up and he had, like, the LeBron hair graft on the top of his head with a line and shit on there. I love Caruso, man. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's a pothead, though.
Yeah.
So just be careful.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, he got arrested in Texas A&M like a year ago.
I think
at an airport, maybe?
He had a grinder. He had a grinder, and he went through security, and there was like a little bit of weed in there. And they're like, sir, you're arrested.
He's like in the last place in the U.S. where you can't walk around with a grinder.
College Station, Texas, is the one place where weed is still
illegal.
Yeah,
free Caruso.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love that guy.
Fucking legend.
He is. He's a legend. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers were cheap, and they didn't fucking keep him, which was stupid.
I know.
Can you break some news? Give us some real bros of Simi Valley news.
There's not really, like, exciting news at the moment.
Oh, no.
But we, now that I'm done with home economics, we are going to pitch season 4 to pretty much all the major networks.
Oh, yes. If you need our help.
We want to finish the show.
Yes.
Facebook is no longer doing, like, scripted content. They're doing, you know, red table talks and reality stuff. So they're not doing any, like, scripted TV shows anymore.
Yeah.
So we are now taking it out to hopefully finish the show at a, you know, one of the major networks.
Now, obviously, it'd be awesome if that happened. I'm rooting for you. I love the show. I think it's one of the funniest shows. If you haven't watched it, you're an idiot. Go watch it. You can watch it. I think each season is on a different streaming platform, yeah, which makes it a little difficult.
I also want to get all the seasons on this in the same place.
Yes, that's like it is. You see it. I'm sure you see it all the time. It's got to be cool. Like the GIFs and pictures that are used, it's very much like a cult classic in that respect. It like feels a little bit like an Arrested Development or early Family Guy when Family Guy got taken off air, and it's like it's almost this little like inside joke where like people know the context of these GIFs that are being shared.
But like, it's a big awesome. Inside joke.
Right.
It's like a huge group that like I wouldn't even say cult classic. It's just something that I think hasn't been promoted by the mainstream, but I think a lot of people that are in the mainstream have watched it and enjoy it.
But like people share the GIFs, like, you know, like I'm straight up not having a good time. I bet some people who share that don't even know what they're sharing.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, but that scene is hilarious. Like you need to know
that. The sound, like the baby fight sound became like a TikTok thing. And it got like hundreds of thousands of people made videos using that sound. Like you could watch all these people like lip syncing the sound. But yeah, I mean, I think like it's really cool to see how many people still watch the show, even though, like you said, it's like season one's on Facebook, season one's on YouTube, season two and three are on Facebook.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it's like on different platforms and it's still all the episodes still have like millions of views is just, I think, a testament to the fan base. And it's cool. That's what I think hopefully will help sell it, because we can say the fans will follow it.
They absolutely will. And you had Kittle doing the Xander at the Pro Bowl, which was fucking sick.
Kittle threw down the Xander. I'll throw that in the pitch document.
Yes. Uh-huh. Why wouldn't you? You should actually just toss us in there. Be like, these guys
are going to be on the fence, and then they're going to see Kittle just throw down the boom, and they're like, oh, man. All right, we'll buy it.
Now, if you want to be like, hey, this podcast, it has a pretty decent fan base. We'll push it as hard as we like. We'll just make up ads for you if you get it on a.
Okay.
Throw that in the pitch document.
I'll come on as Xander.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be fucking incredible.
Act like I don't know you guys.
Well, it wouldn't be that incredible because it's kind of we do that every show with Billy because he's kind of.
Right. He's our real bro.
Yeah, he is our real bro.
He's like a real bro.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
He's real. Yeah, no, he does. Like, he's upset said, seeing he's you here.
He
right?
thinks
yeah.
that you're appropriating his culture on the show.
Yeah, he's like, wait, he's what's
like,
going
my,
on
He's
here?
Like, my culture is not your costume, Jimmy, is what he was saying.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck, Jimmy? Like, there needs to be more roles in Hollywood for real bros, to play real bros.
Representation matters. And every time you film an episode, you're taking jobs away from real bros. You're in bro face.
How about
what
that?
You're doing.
Let's start a controversy. That would be so good if we're just like, these guys are not real bros, and they're fucking taking our jobs.
From real
bros. Yeah, yeah. Billy's sitting there
the
like,
real
this
bro
is
reality
bullshit.
Story. Our idea got stolen from
we
us.
We need it, though. We need it. I mean, it's such a fucking funny show.
It is good, yeah.
And I hope it. You keep saying, like, we got to finish it, but I don't want you. Like, why? If someone bought it and they're like, hey, we want four more seasons, would you do it?
We know how we want it to end.
Right.
We also think it would be funny to do a couple, like, spin-offs where, you know, maybe the squad wants to go rent an Airbnb and they don't realize that they're getting roped into, like, a Love Island type situation. And it just, like, the full season. And it takes them, like, you know, an episode or two to even realize what's happening. And then all of a sudden they're, like, all in on this Love Island show. And then, like, by the end they're, like... And then, like, the next season you're just, like, okay, pretend that never happened.
Yeah, right.
But there's so many, like, different reality shows that would be fun to parody. At the time, Real Housewives was we were just laughing at how many there were. It was, like, Real Housewives of, like, Potomac or Potomac or whatever.
Yeah,
and we're like, all right, we can do a parody of this.
Yes.
But now it's, like, I think Love Island would be really funny to parody. I don't know if you guys have watched that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's absurd. And there's just so many like that. All the hookup in one house shows where
like,
put all
like,
these hot people in one house and just not let him fuck.
Yeah. You like fear fat, old school fear factor parody where you're just doing challenges and shit.
It's kind of weird that the whole concept around ending a series, because like everyone says that they want to see their favorite show have like an ending, you know, and everyone that's making a show wants to think about what the ending's going to be. But then every time they make it, everyone hates it.
Yeah.
Like there's, I don't think that there's been a good ending. Maybe Breaking Bad is the only one I can think of.
Breaking Bad.
But every other one, people are just like, oh, that ending sucked. Because it's like, yeah, no shit. You invested, you know, 5 years of your life into watching a show, and you made it such a big part of, like, you know, your day-to-day. You look forward to it. And then you see it end, and it didn't fulfill your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
Then it's going to just make you upset for, you know, how you – like Game of Thrones did that. Everyone was like, fuck these guys.
Although
– I just feel like more shows should just not have endings.
It would be funny if, like, they did an ending that everyone got mad about. Like, how could you fucking kill off Xander? Like, this is – I took this – this is my life invested in this.
Well, I really want Hawk to die of old age.
I don't think, if people haven't watched, you have to watch it, but Hawk is Xander, Jimmy's character's son, and he goes from a newborn to like 8 years old to like high school in like a matter of like 3 episodes.
Yeah. In the end of season 3, he's like 19. Season 4, he would start out being older than me for sure. He'd have to be like 50. And I want to get the kid that played Hawk to play Hawk's son.
In future seasons.
That's so fucking confusing. That'd be so funny though.
And then, you know, eventually he'll, you know, his life will run its course. He'll die of old age. I would really love that to happen.
We need that. We need that. All right, so you want to give a prediction for the game? This is for Rams fans are listening to this because, again, equal representation.
I'm going to say Rams 24. Bengals 21.
Oh,
ooh.
Bengals cover the spread.
All right, nice. That's nice. You get throw Cincinnati a bone there.
I'll take that.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew the spread.
I don't know the spread. No. I'm not a bettor like you guys.
Yeah.
You should actually have a season where Real Bros of Simi Valley get like sponsored by a sports book.
Yeah, like
Barstool. You could easily parody us, like, and it would be very funny. You guys just, all you were doing is talking about parlays. I could help write that. Or you could just watch whatever I do.
Okay.
It would be pretty apparent how you could parody
me. I'm open to it.
Yeah. You guys are just gambling all the time.
Did I see that you're working with the Farrelly Brothers now?
What was that?
Are you working with the Farrelly Brothers?
Yeah, we did a show. It came out. They didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Oh, that was sick.
I missed it, but I was going back through your social media before you sat down here today. I was like, holy shit, he's like working with
those guys and Bill Murray? Honestly, what happened with that, it was a Quibi show.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. You're part of that.
Rest in
peace. Did you kill Quibi?
Did the check clear?
The check cleared. Dude, I was all in on Quibi because I had 2 Quibi shows. I had that, and then I had like my middle school series that we sold to Quibi. And I think certain things were Quibi's fault, but overall, it wasn't really Quibi's fault, you know? Their whole concept was like, you know how you have no time? And they dropped it a month after the pandemic started.
Yeah.
You know, where everyone was like, no, we have more time than we've ever had in our whole lives. I want to watch a 5-hour movie. What do you got, Quibi? And they're like, ooh, 10 minutes. Yeah. They're like, their whole marketing thing was like, you know how you're on the move and you only really have 10 minutes at a time?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, no.
Yeah.
So I think they got very unlucky with the timing of all that. But we shot the whole show for Quibi. It's basically like a 2-hour movie chopped up into like 14 under 10-minute episodes.
Tangible.
It's me, Dave Franco, and O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Okay.
That's like the main three.
Dave Franco. Shout out Dave Franco. Played beer pong with him for a movie promo for in like 2014.
He's the
Neighbors
best.
Too. Yeah,
love Dave.
Yeah,
love O'Shea. And then Daryl Hannah plays his mom, and Bill Murray's in the show, and it's written and directed by the Farrelly Brothers, who did.
Is it just gone forever now?
Well, so it wasn't going to come out on Quibi because Quibi tanked, like right before the show came out. So then I think they were going to like try to release it as a movie or something, but then Roku bought Quibi's library.
Oh.
So now it's on Roku.
So have you, I think you actually could break the record. Like, have you appeared on every single streaming platform?
That was my goal. I wanted to be on every single one. I think I'm close.
So you've had Netflix, had Hulu, had regular cable, you've had Facebook, YouTube, Quibi.
Uh-huh. HBO Max.
I'm in a movie on HBO. Okay, Max.
Yep, HBO Max. So we need like Showtime.
Paramount. We need Paramount.
Need you? You should.
I'm in a Paramount animated movie called Rumble that came out.
Okay, very good.
What about Disney? Have you done anything on Disney? We need like get you.
That's Hulu.
Oh, that's Hulu.
Right.
Yeah.
We like a traditional like Pixar like voice. You're like the third. Candle.
I haven't made it onto Disney Plus. I haven't made it onto Disney Plus. I haven't made it onto Showtime.
Okay.
Showtime. I haven't made it onto Stars.
All right. So we got to get those. Those are like this is important. I think.
Showtime. What shows are you a Billions fan?
I haven't seen it. No.
We could get you on Billions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Brian Koppelman, the guy that runs the show, he'll put anybody on there.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, literally.
All you got to do is retweet him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sounds promising, I guess. Yeah. No, seriously, like, we can get anyone, so we could get you.
Yeah. All right, so we got it. This is, like, you will be the first ever. That would be a very big accomplishment. You've appeared on every single streaming platform.
I would just like a plaque of some kind.
Yeah, I think you need it. It's no one's done it, right?
Yeah, that just says I just got to get every.
As seen everywhere.
Right.
Jimmy Tatro. And then it's just literally all of them. The defunct ones, everything. As seen everywhere.
This is a goal.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we can do it.
All right. Well, thank you for stopping by. Always fun. Our LA representative, we are around, so if you want to like kick it, whatever.
Or give when do you guys leave?
Saturday. So if you want to give us some recommendations, you don't have to come, but.
There's a great breakfast burrito spot down the street.
What's it called?
Dialogue Cafe.
Okay.
They got a brisket burrito.
Okay. Ooh. Any strip clubs around here?
The Body Shop down the street.
Just like the name of it.
The Body Shop is so good. I'm pretty sure it used to be a garage.
Yeah.
They just turned into a
That's strip actually club. To go full circle. Like that. Those. I feel like if you are someone who can come up with good names, it's like strip clubs and weed strains. Mm. That's where you should be working because there's always good shit there.
Mm. Weed strains for sure.
I buy just from the names.
Yeah, same.
Like, I bought one Ghost time. Dog. I got Ghost Dog in Denver. It was just weed, but it was Ghost Dog.
That's like literally what piques my interest every time. I'm like, ooh, Banana Kush. It sounds fun.
White Elephant. Okay.
I got an abusive OG one time.
Oh Jesus!
And I honestly had a panic attack. I had like a pimple or something like in the center of my chest. And I like touched it and I felt like it reverberate out and I was like, cancer.
Because of abusive OG.
Yeah, I was like, I'm dying of cancer. And I started turning like green and white and purple and my friends were like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't think so, no. And we looked at the name of the weed and it was abusive OG.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
I've seen some strains that are called like cocaine. Yeah. They call their weed cocaine, which is like if you have a dog and you name it Bear, which I've seen a few times, but... Then your buddy comes over, he's like, hey, I've got cocaine. And he throws a bag on the table and everyone's disappointed. It's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah. I'm smoking some cocaine.
Yeah, freebasing. Freebasing cocaine.
All right, well, thank you, Jimmy. As Seen Everywhere. Check out Home Economics Season 2 coming out when?
Oh, it's out, dude.
Oh, it's out. I knew that. That was a
coming out. There's actually an episode coming out tonight.
Beautiful. Well, this is going out on Friday.
There's an episode every Wednesday until like...
And support our friend Jimmy.
But I think I'd like to plug more of the Roku show.
Yes.
Because no one knows.
I saw that the trailer for it. It looked good. I was like, I like the Farrelly Brothers.
It's good.
I like Jimmy. How come I have not seen the show anywhere before?
It's good. Yes. It's fun.
Yeah.
Bill Murray's in it, you know?
Yeah. Who doesn't love Bill Murray?
Did you get to hang out with him?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to a hockey game. We went to sushi. First thing we did at sushi, he just grabbed my hat and just threw it across the room. And said, no hats, it's sushi. And I said, okay. Sorry, I wore a hat to sushi, Bill.
Yeah, that's the rule, man.
And I had hat hair all dinner.
That's perfect. All right, thanks, Jimmy.
All right, guys.
Okay, let's wrap up. We've got Firefest of the Week. Great Super Bowl week. I don't know if anyone's got... I mean, this is a great week.
Awesome week.
Solid week,
Firefest. We'll wrap everything up. We'll see everyone watch our live stream Super Bowl Sunday. Also, Overs Club is back.
Yep.
We have a great promo as well. I think it's 3 or 4 bets that you get in the Barstool Sportsbook app that are, like, awesome. I actually had a meeting. I was like, listen, we need a bet that everyone can get behind and everyone can be like, ooh, this will be awesome if it wins.
Opening kickoff? Oh.
That's the one we're all behind. Scorigami, we're all behind.
We're all behind Scorigami. I'm going to tell you this real quick. Yep, it's the bet. Oh, no. I'm going to get it.
And we're all betting on Orange Gatorade, right?
Yes.
Because Orange. That's been confirmed, Orange Gatorade.
Big game long shot. So if you place a bet on the Super Bowl, if any of the following occur during the game, you just get $20. So you don't have to bet these bets. If you bet on the game, you are automatically eligible for this. Opt in at the top. If a safety happens, you get $20. If a 57-plus yard field goal happens, you get $20. And if a kickoff return for a touchdown happens, you get $20.
Okay.
Just don't return it the first time.
It's going to be overs club. There's going to be a lot of points, a lot of kickoffs.
Yeah.
Just not the first one.
Yes. Yep. So that's just like, and it's bonus. It's not, you don't have to, you bet on the game, you opt in, you get those. We all root for it together. Watch our live stream from Louisiana. All right, Hank.
All right, this is a higher fest, fire fest.
With AB too?
No, I did not. I think we should just not even give context to that story.
Yeah, no, just yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Let people fill in the gaps for themselves.
I had like a little film camera and it got a little fucked up, like a roll of film. So I brought it to a camera store and I borrowed one of the cars we have out here. Brought it to this camera store, was, you know, hitting a little pen Stu Finer gave me. Maybe got, and you know, just a quick 10-minute drive, didn't think anything of it.
You guys smoke so much weed on the show.
Right?
I'm by far the most sober person.
Well, this is not during, you know, this is a non-work thing. I was, you know, time off. And
it was yesterday?
Yeah, this is my higher fest. We're on a fucking hill. This hotel is on a hill, and I was stoned, and I was stuck in traffic on this hill.
This is illegal?
Yep. And I did not...
You were a passenger in the car, though, right?
I was literally
sitting
there, and
driving.
I was kind of freaking out. I was freaking out, and I didn't put the car in the passenger.
You were so high, you forgot that you were in the passenger seat.
Right. It's legal out here. Can I not say my fire fest?
Okay.
This podcast is sponsored by NHTSA.
I was just on a hill and I had to. All right, should I not say it? Like, it's not that
no,
bad.
No, just say you were in the passenger seat. You were in the passenger seat.
It was very clear you were not driving.
But
you
then
were
my
so
entire
high.
Fire fest is you built around
driving.
Me driving.
No, you weren't driving.
You weren't driving, but you were driving.
Yeah, Billy was driving. You were so high, you thought you were driving.
The person that was driving.
Billy was drunk driving.
Was on this hill, and instead of putting the car in park and waiting for the light, they were just. Like revving the engine, like, and it was like, this is really awkward and it sucks. And like, I need the light to go green, and the light went green, and I didn't make it to the person didn't make it to the top of the hill, so they had to sit there. And we're just like, it was just
because you were sitting on the hill,
right? Like,
someone else was trying, yeah, like,
they
should have
just
put
the car in park,
yeah,
but
that,
instead,
I don't like putting it in park.
That's what I'm saying,
yeah, because then you have to like do the quick.
Park, yes.
Yes.
And I didn't know what to do.
No,
the person
didn't
know what
to
do.
The person did it right.
And it was just, you know, a bad experience to be in the passenger seat.
So it wasn't actually anything bad. It was just stressful.
Yeah, it was not. Yeah.
I can't imagine driving stick out here on these
hills.
No.
No, that's when you use the handbrake like halfway, then release it, and then go.
Billy's like an F1 driver over here.
Yeah.
It was not a fun situation. And I was like, I'm in no state of.
The person driving.
You should have told the driver, push.
Yeah, push. All right, PFT, your fire fest.
Hopefully
not a felony.
No, I was not. I was not endangering my life or the lives of anybody else in my fire fest. Mine's worse, though. I think mine's worse. Mine is
With your car. No.
I went to bed the other night, and we're in this very nice hotel here. We're sponsored by Takis. A lot of the stuff that we're doing, Takis are a delicious snack. Everybody knows that.
Yep.
Especially if you're Hank and you've been smoking a vape pen all week.
Mm-hmm.
Legally, I might add.
You can't.
Yeah, you can, Billy,
as long as you're a passenger.
Yeah.
And so I went to bed, and I was hungry. I ate some Takis in bed. And
oh God! That's terrible.
There's nothing worse than eating Takis in bed because the dust on white sheets. It looks like I'm Dexter Morgan, and I've just I've slaughtered an entire family in my bed.
Takis is a delicious snack. The reason why it's so great is because you know, like, when I'm eating it, I'm eating it.
I'm eating it, yeah. And my hands are going to get covered in dust, and I'm never going to be like, hey, Mom, guess what? I ate the entire thing of Takis and didn't lick my fingers until the very end. But, yeah, my bed looks just awful right now with, like, fingerprints and hand stains on it. And I didn't even realize until the morning because I was eating it. It was very sad, but I was sitting in bed in the darkness watching TV, eating Takis, and then I woke up in the morning with a Takis bag next to me, and then my bed looking like there had been a slaughter fest going on there. So I'm not going to change my sheets or anything because I'm literally going to sleep in the bed that I made.
Love it.
For the rest of this week. And then
great.
My other fire fest is that the Washington Commanders, Jonathan Allen, I'm having to defend his back and forth online.
He just wants to meet the H-Man.
He wants to meet the H-Man. Yeah. So he was doing a Q&A at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is always fun and highly recommended. And somebody asked him, three dinner guests, who would you pick to have dinner with? And he said, well, my grandfather, Hitler, and Michael Jackson. Those were his three. And they said, two out of the three, I understand, but please explain Hitler. And Jonathan Allen
Michael
said,
Jackson, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, Michael Jackson, innocent.
I mean, it's actually smart. Like, Michael Jackson looks really good when you put it in that sentence.
Yeah, so Allen said, Hitler's a military genius, and I love military tactics. But honestly, I would want to pick his brain as to why he did what he did. I'm also assuming that the people I've chosen have to answer all my questions honestly. Hitler's he's well known for being an honest guy. What you see is what you get with him. But, like, setting aside the fact that he invited Hitler to dinner.
Yeah.
Hitler would be an all-time bad dinner guest because he's a vegetarian and he doesn't drink.
And he's high on drugs.
And he's high on meth.
Yeah.
So you have to plan everything around his little, like, weirdo diet.
And he's, like, shaking and shit and just being a weirdo.
And he sucked at military tactics.
And I'm just going to say it right now. Bad guy.
Bad guy, but also sucked at military tactics.
Yes.
He blew a 3-1 lead in World War II because he invaded Russia in the wintertime. He slept in on D-Day, and then he had a heroin addict leader of the Air Force that talked him into letting the British escape at Dunkirk.
Yep.
So overall, not a good look from Jonathan, but he did apologize.
Okay, good. About Michael Jackson.
About Michael Jackson, yeah. I mean, say what you want about the H-Man's military tactics. He was a great shot.
Yeah.
He was one for one all time.
Jesus Christ. What a tweet. What a tweet. Don't tweet it.
Just never, it's a good rule of thumb if you're a professional athlete to not ever say the word Hitler.
Yes. I think that's fair. All right, my Firefest is simple. I ran a 5K and I'm really out of shape. And I don't know, Bill, you're going to have to do something about my lactic acid. My legs are locked up. I haven't worked out in a very long time.
Did you run the entire one?
I run the entire one. I like fast walked when I drank water, but then I'd pick up my pace. 34 minutes? I mean, it's not good.
That's Mincy, but he's like.
No.
Mincy's trained, though.
No, and Mincy's also was 36 minutes. I'm a Clydesdale. He's a donkey. No offense.
He's in very good shape for his size, and he does that every day.
But I.
But it's also different for Mincy because when Mincy goes on a 5K, he has to stop every 15 seconds to take a picture with somebody that recognizes him.
That's true.
When I got the dog chasing him, he gets some speed going.
I know it's a bad time, but I also have not run more than a half mile in probably 5 years. So in that respect, I think it's actually an incredible time.
Yeah.
It's not bad for going from like absolutely
nothing.
No cardio whatsoever.
Ever. And just doing all, like I did the 34 minutes. I didn't stop. I didn't get off or anything like that. I just fucking powered through.
36 is Mincy's ceiling. This is your floor.
Correct.
That's, yeah. So,
yes.
Get your mind right, Ben.
So, you have way more upside.
If I trained, which I won't,
yeah.
I could be under 30.
Easy.
No problem. Easy. All right, Billy, yours.
I have a couple.
Okay.
First one, the thank you for your service thing may have gone a little too far. One, we have Jake telling security guards that I'm a veteran at the Super Bowl arena.
Billy, what pants are you wearing right now? Just curious.
I'm wearing my camo cargo pants. Which are very effective in carrying multiple tools.
Security guard at NFL Fan Experience thought we were undercover cops.
Yeah,
and yeah, I can see that.
Because you were walking around sketchy.
I can see that. Outfit. No, you guys are like a movie cop duo. You got the one that plays by the rules,
the
and
desk
then the
guy
other
guy and the field agent.
The other guy that desk pops three times a year.
Yeah, but that's one. And then also we were on the TV show, we were on morning television, and the guy at the end said, thank you for your service. So now,
love it.
Like, people are actually like, you're clearly just stealing valor. You're accepting it. Because I didn't, like, push back on it, because I just wanted to, like, I don't know. So panicked. And yeah, so I'm sorry to the veterans, and I'm sorry. It seems like I'm stealing valor. I'm really trying not to.
On behalf of all veterans, I say apology not accepted.
Okay.
Hang on, I'm going to ask Chaps.
All right, go ahead. Keep
and
going.
Then I went, so I tried to get some exercise, was doing some laps in the pool. I'm not a nerd, so I didn't pack goggles. Chlorine's pretty strong. Got out of the pool. My eyes started burning like a motherfucker. Then
you smoked the bong.
No, I didn't. I don't smoke weed. I literally would have a panic attack. Then I went out to the crowd.
You smoked weed and tried to drive up a hill?
No, I didn't smoke. I was driving Hank's car. Yeah. And yeah, so my eyes were bright red. Everyone started yelling at me, dude, you're so high. And I looked very high, but I literally don't smoke weed.
Love it.
So if you see pictures of me with my eyes super red.
Any good videos drop this week?
Oh, yeah. Didn't finish the steak. Puked. 60 ounces out of 72.
I don't know. Wait, 60 ounces were left.
60 ounces. Yeah. I ate 60 ounces.
No, you puked, they weighed, so that counts.
They it was weighed a
puke. So they weigh your puke?
No, they weighed the leftover steak.
Here's what actually happened. So after it was done, Billy's like, I basically finished the whole steak. It was the sides that I didn't get around to. And then we asked the server to weigh the remaining steak, and there were 14 ounces left in the remaining steak. So you do the math on that. Billy.
That's like a big-ass steak.
Yeah. Billy ate 58 ounces. But so don't. When he says 60, 12, he's rounding
up. I think
he
said 12.
It was four, you were drunk. And it was, yeah, it was 14.
That's fair.
And they didn't count the throw-up. I think you probably puked up about 15 to 16 ounces, but it was a great video because you were all pumped up going into the challenge. You were ready to go. It was on the day that you fought Jose Canseco.
Yeah.
The year to the date. It was Billy's war date that he has every February 5th. And then you just sit down, you start eating it. And the sound that you make when you throw up is, I've never heard that noise come out of a human being before.
I thought it was fake. I actually thought it was fake. I thought it was like put in there.
That was ASMR.
It was perfect. I loved it. I laughed.
Quickly, could you just run through your you know, your strategy in thinking that drinking like six beers and having that much water in your stomach was going to be good for you?
Oh, zero plan. I was coming off the road. My stomach was disgusting from all the, you know, supplements, energy drinks, you know, a lot of coffee I was drinking. So going into it, I was, you know.
You also stayed up late in your hotel room by yourself drinking Coors Light the night before.
No, I was writing blogs.
And pounding Coors Lights. It's actually in the video. Like you Hunter say S. Thompson. That you did it. Yeah.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. So that didn't go well either. But I'm going to go back and do it one day.
Okay.
And it'll be a momentous occasion.
I'm sure you will.
All right. That's good. It's nice to say that. I'm going to run faster than a 30-minute 5K.
Yeah.
It's fun to say shit that's not going to happen.
I'll get back to Amarillo.
I'm going
to
run a 5K for under 30 minutes.
I don't think you'll ever go back to Amarillo. That's the thing is Amarillo.
No, dude.
Amarillo's a town that you don't, just like stop through on your way somewhere else.
I'll get to Amarillo.
Jake, finish us off.
Yeah, so earlier this week, I was working on my Big J feature story on Sam Hubbard. I FaceTimed him on Monday, and I was planning on releasing the video too, and the video just didn't save.
Oh.
So it's just a written story, which kind of sucks.
All right, did you post yet?
Yeah, it was posted on Monday night.
I got a retweet. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it's good. It's a good article. My favorite part of the article is the sense that's like Urban Meyer did not respond when asked to comment on the
story. I was talking about Urban Meyer. Coach Meyer did not return a request for comment regarding the story.
Yep.
Which is true. I tweeted at him and didn't respond.
Also, update. Bubba was with me after McPherson and Uzama left. Burrow hit me back.
Oh.
Burrow was like, Evans never asked for my number. He's like, tell that pussy to ask me if I'll give him his number, and I'll give it to him. I'm paraphrasing what he said. But yeah, that's so update on that. It's not that he hates him. Again, he likes him as far as kickers go.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not? The guy's a cool guy. All right, random numbers, and then we'll end the week.
69.
56. 17. 44. What do you
got? I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go 87.
Vincent. 21. 100.
Whoa.
What does that mean?
It's not even a number in the machine, is it?
That's
it is.
That's like when zero hits in roulette. No one.
It is.
Like,
we don't have zero. Right? It's a number, zero. Right?
Yeah, it is. It's happened twice before. This is the third time.
Do we have zero in the machine?
No.
No.
No. 1 through 100.
Good. 1 through 100.
Has 100 hit?
This is the third time.
Really?
Yeah. We've got December 13th, 2020, November 14th, 2021.
Love you guys.
I love that you have that.
Trenbolone is used for cattle to put on mass for extra meat yield.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save.